Okay, very good morning to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is 30th August 2022. Now we will have our evening chanting from 8:30. Our morning chanting, sorry, from 8:30 to 9 o'clock. Then we will have a short. Arahang sama sambuto bhagawa. Buddhaṃ bhagavantaṃ abhivādeyi. Svakkhato bhagavata dhammo dhammaṃ namassāmi. Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sanghaṃ namami. Okay, turn to page 5 of that chanting. Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, then we shall together chant the evening, morning chanting, page 5 of the retreat chanting book. To the blessed one, the Lord, who fully attained perfect enlightenment, to the teaching which he expounded so well, to the blessed one's disciple, who had practiced well, to this, the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha, we render with offerings our rightful homage. It is well for us that the Blessed One, having attained liberation, still had compassion for later generations. May these simple offerings be accepted for our long-lasting benefit. For the happiness he gives us, the Lord, the perfectly enlightened and blessed one, I render homage to the Buddha, the blessed one, Bhagavan. The teaching so completely explained by him, I bow to the Dhamma, the blessed one's disciple who had practiced well, I bow to the Sangha. Now let us pay preliminary homage to the Buddha, homage to him, the blessed one, the worthy one, the fully enlightened one. Homage to him, the blessed one, the worthy one, the fully enlightened one. Homage to him, the blessed one, the worthy one, the fully enlightened one. Now let us chant in praise of the Buddha. The Tathagata is the pure one, the perfectly enlightened one. He is impeccable in conduct and understanding, the accomplished one, the knower of the world. He trains perfectly those who wish to be trained. He is the teacher of gods and humans. He is awake and holy in this world with his gods, demons, and kind spirits, his seekers and sages, celestial and human beings. He has by deep insight revealed the truth. He has pointed out the Dhamma, beautiful in the beginning, beautiful in the middle, beautiful in the end. He has explained the spiritual life of complete purity in its essence and conviction. I chant my praise to the Blessed One. I bow my head to the Blessed One. Now let us chant in praise of the Dhamma. Well expounded is the Dhamma of the Blessed One. Can be realized in the here and the now, beyond time, beyond thought, inviting investigation, leading inwards to the heart, Nibbana, can be understood by the wise each for themselves. I chant my praise to this teaching. I bow my head to this truth. Now let us chant in praise of the Sangha. They are the Blessed One's disciples who have good conduct, who have upright conduct, who have wise conduct, who have beautiful conduct. This is the four paths, the eight kinds of noble beings. These are the Blessed One's disciples. Such ones are worthy of gifts, worthy of hospitality, worthy of offerings, worthy of respect. They give occasion for incomparable goodness to arise in the world. I chant my praise to this Sangha. I bow my head to this Sangha. Now let us chant our salutation to the Triple Gem and a passage of encouragement. The Buddha, absolutely pure with ocean-like compassion, possessing the clear insight of wisdom, destroyer of worldly self-corruption, devotedly indeed, that Buddha I revered. The teachings of the Lord, like a lamp, illuminating the path and its fruits, the deathless, that which is beyond the conditioned world. Devotedly indeed, that Dhamma I revered. The Dhamma, the Sangha, the most fertile ground for cultivation. Those who have realized peace, awakened after accomplished one, noble and wise, all longing abundant. Devotedly indeed, that Sangha I revered. This salutation should be made to that which is worthy. Through the power of such good actions, may all obstacles disappear. One who knows things as they are has come into this world, and he is an Arahant, a perfectly awakened being, purifying the way leading out of delusion, coming and directing to perfect peace, and leading to enlightenment. This way he has made known, having heard the teaching, we know this. Birth is suffering, aging is suffering, sickness and disease is suffering, death is suffering, sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, and despair are suffering. Association with the dislike is suffering. Separation from one's loved one or and our prized possession is suffering. Not attaining one's wishes is suffering. In brief, the five aggregates of grasping are suffering. They are as follows: identification with the body, identification with feeling, identification with perception, identification with mental formation, identification with consciousness. For the complete understanding of this, the Blessed One in his lifetime frequently instructs his disciple in just this way. In addition, he further instructed, the body is impermanent, feeling is impermanent, perception is impermanent, mental formation is impermanent, consciousness is impermanent, The body is non-self, feeling is non-self, perception is non-self, mental formations are non-self, consciousness is non-self, all conditioned phenomena are impermanent. There is no self in the conditioned and the unconditioned. Okay, we turn back and chant the Pali. Rupang anicang, vedana anicang, sanya anicang, sankara anicang, vedana anicang, rupang anatta, vedana anatta, sanya anatta, sankara anatta, vijnana anatta, sabbe sankara anicca, sabbe dhamma anatta. Then we continue. All of us are bound by birth, aging, sickness, and death, by sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, and despair, bound by suffering and obstructed by suffering. Let us all aspire to complete freedom from suffering. The Blessed One, who long ago attained Parinibbana, is my refuge. So too are the Dhamma and the Sangha. Attentively we follow the pathway of the Blessed One with all our mindfulness and strength. May then the cultivation of this practice lead us to the end of every kind of suffering. So now we will do the closing homage. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddha bhagavata abhivadeni. Sokato bhagavata dhammo dhamma namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sanghang namami. Okay, so now we will do some reflection. We will go through the discourse on setting in motion the wheel of Dhamma, first sermon, page 35, Dhammacakka Pavattana Sutta. Ingi, you can help chant the Pali. You chant the Pali. Jan Tha is here. The two of them should be good enough. Pass the mic to Jan Tha. One of the mic to Jan Tha. Page 35 of the retreat chanting. Yeah, Ho Dhamma Chakka Pavana Tana Sutta, the first one. Because up there they know how to listen.
Okay, let us praise the Buddha first.
Yeah.
Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. Oh, there's an introduction.
No need. You just straightway go to Ewamme Suttam.
Oh, okay. Ewamme Suttam Ekam Samayam Bhagava Bhagavanasiyam Viharati Isi Patane Nigadaye Tathratho Bhagava Panchavaggiye Bhikkhu amante si dve me bhikkave anta pabbajite nana sevitabha yo chayam kame sukham sukalikanu yogo Ino gammo kotu janiko anariyo anata sanghito yo chayam atta kila matanu yogo dukko anariyo anata sanghito Ete te bhikkhave ubho ante anupagamma majjhima patipada tathagatena adisambuddha Chakkhukarani, Jnanakarani, Upasamaya, Abhinnyaya, Sambodhaya, Nibbanaya, Samvartati, Tadmāca sā bhikkhave majjhima patipadā tathāgatena abhisambuddhā Chakkhukarani jñānakarani upasamāya abhinnyāya Sambodhaya Nibbanaya Samvartati Ayameva Ariyo Attangiko Maggo Seyyathidam Sammadhitti Sammā saṅkappo, sammā vācā, sammā kammanto, sammā ājjīvo, sammā vācāmo, sammā sati, sammā samādhi. Ayaṁ ko sā bhikkhave majjhima patipadā tathāgatena abhisambuddhā Chakkhukarani jñānakarani upasamāya abhinnyāya Sambodhaya Nibbanaya Samvartati Idam kho pana bhikkhave Dukkhaṁ ariya satchaṁ Jatipi dukkha jarapi dukkha Vyadipi dukkho maranampi dukkhaṁ Soka parideva dukkha domana supāyāsāpi dukkha Appiyehi sampayogo dukkho Piyehi vipayogo dukkho Yang pecham nalabati tampi dukkhaṁ Saṅkittena pañcupādāna khandhā dukkhaṁ Idam ko pana bhikkhave dukkha samudayo ariya satcham yayam tanha puno bhavika nandi raga sahagata tatra tatra vinandini seyati da amatanha bhavatanha vibhavatanha idam kho pana bhikkhave dukkha nirodho ariya saccham yotasyeva tanhaya asesa viraga nirodho Chato pati nissango mutti anālayo idam kho pana bhikkhave dukkha nirodha gāmini patipada ariya saccam ayameva ariyo attam hito maggo seyati idam sammāditti sammā saṅkappo sammā vācā sammā kammanto sammā ajīvo sammā vāyāmo sammā sati sammā samādhi idaṃ dukkhaṃ ariya saccanti me bhikkhave buddhe ananusute su dhammesu chakkhum udapādi jñānam udapādi paññā udapādi viccā udapādi ālokam udapādi saṅkhum paridam dukkhaṃ ariya saccaṃ pariññeyanti me bhikkhave kubbe ananusute su dhammesu chakkhum udapādi jñānam udapādi paññā udapādi viccā udapādi ālokā udapādi saṅkhopanidaṃ dukkhaṃ ariya saccaṃ pariññātanti me bhikkhave buddhe ananusute su dhammesu chakkhum udapādi jñānam udapādi paññā udapādi viccā udapādi ālokā udapādi idaṃ dukkha samudayo ariya saccanti me bhikkhave buddhe ananusute su dhammesu Kung udapadi ñānaṁ, udapadi paññā, udapadi viccā, udapadi āloko, udapadi saṅkho panidaṁ, dukkha samudayo ariya saccaṁ. Pahata banti me bhikkhave kubbe ananu sute su dhamme su cakkum udapadi jnanam udapadi panya udapadi vijja udapadi Aloko udapadi Sangkho panidang dukkha samudayo ariya saccang Pahinanti me bhikkhave kubbe ananu sute su dhammesu Cakkum udapadi jnanam, udapadi paññā, udapadi viccā, udapadi āloko, udapadi. Idaṁ dukkha nirodho ariya saccanti me bhikkhave pubbe ananu sute su dhammesu cakkum udapadi jnanam udapadi paññā udapadi viccā udapadi āloko udapadi saṅkho panidaṁ dukkha nirodho ariya saccaṁ Sacchikātabbanti me bhikkhave kubbe ananu sute su dhammesu cakkum udapadi jnanam udapadi paññā udapadi viccā udapadi Aloko udapadi Saṅkho panidaṁ dukkha nirodho ariya saccaṁ Sacchikātanti me bhikkhave kubbe ananu sute su dhammesu Cakkum udapadi jnanam udapadi paññā udapadi viccā udapadi āloko udapadi Idaṁ dukkha nirodha gāmini patipadā ariya saccanti me bhikkhave pubbe ananu sute su dhammesu cakkum udapadi jnanam udapadi paññā udapadi viccā udapadi āloko udapadi Saṅkho panidaṁ dukkha nirodha gāmini patipadā ariya saccaṁ bhavettabbanti me bhikkhave pubbe ananu sute su dhammesu parinyanam udapari panya udapari vijja udapati aloko udapati tanko panidam dukkha nirodhagami Patipada ariya satchang bhavitanti me bhikkhave pubbe anano sute sudammesu chakkhum udapadi jnanam udapadi panya udapadi vijja udapadi aloko udapadi yavaki vancha me bhikkhave Imesu chatusu ariya satchesu Evanti parivattam dvadasakaram Yathabhutam jnanadasanam Nasuvisuddham ahosi Nevatavaham bhikkhave sadevake loke Samarake sabrahmake sasamana brahmaniya bhajaya Sadeva manusaya Anuttaraṁ sammā sambodhiṁ adi sambuddho pacchanyāsiṁ yadocha kho me bhikkhave imesu chatusu ariya satchesu evanti parivattam dvadasakaram yathabhutam jnanadasanam suvisuddham ahosi attaham bhikkhave sadevake loke samarake sabrahmake sasamana brahmaniya bhajaya sadeva manusaya anuttaraṁ sammā sambodhiṁ adi sambuddho pacchanyāsiṁ Jnānañca paṇame dassanaṁ udapādi Akuppāme ceto vimutti ayamanti mācāti Natti dāni punabhavoti Idam voca bhagavā attamanā pañcavaggiyā bhikkhu bhagavato vāsitaṁ arinandun Imasmiñca paṇaveyyā karanasmiṁ vanyamāne āyāsmato khandanyāsa vīrajāṁ vītamālāṁ dhammacakkhuṁ udapādi yāṁ kiñci samudaya dhammaṁ sabbantaṁ nirodha dhammanti पवादिते च भगवता धम्मचक्के बुम्मादे शमनेन वा ब्राह्मणेन वा देवेन वा मारेन वा ब्रह्मणा वा केनचिव लोकस्मिन् बुम्मानं देवानं सत्तं सुत्वा चातुं महारजिकं देवा सद्मानुषां वेषुं चातुं महा राजिकं देवानं सदं सुत्वा तान्वधिं सा देवा सदमानुषां वेषुं तान्वधिं सा नं देवानं सदं सुत्वा यामं देवां सदमानुषां वेषुं यामानं देवानं सदं सुत्वा तुषिता देवां सद्मानुषां वेषुं तुषितानां देवानां सदं सुत्वा निम्मानरतिं देवा सद्मानुषां वेषुं निम्मानरतीनां देवानां सदं सुत्वा परनिर्मितवसवती देवा सद्मानुषां परनिर्मितवसवातीनां देवानां सदं सुत्वा ब्राह्मकायिका देवा सद्मानुषां वेषुं एतं भगवता इसिपातने निदधाये अनुत्तरं धम्मचक्रं पवर्तितं अप्रतिवर्तीयं शमनेन वा ब्राह्मणेन वा देवेन वा मारेन वा ब्रह्मणा वा केनचिवालोकस्मिन्ति इतिहतेन खानेन तेन मुहूर्तेन या
Something, huh? We just okay. This is the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, very long. Huh? It took us almost 21 minutes to finish the Pali chanting, but I will explain the English one later, tomorrow. Huh? This is basically the first sermon, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, that the Buddha actually proclaimed to the five ascetic when he met up with them, and upon before the ending of the sutta, one of them, Kondanya, the youngest and the wisest, realized the first stage of sainthood, Sotapannasi. That's why this sutta is very unique. Then it started off by telling the bhikkhu, you have to avoid the two extremes of sensual desire and ill will. Means, do not indulge in sensual desire. Sensual desire and self-mortification when you do the cultivation. But these are the two extremes you have to avoid. Right? It doesn't bring about enlightenment. It's not conducive. You have to try the middle path. And the middle path got two meanings. One of the middle path meaning is not to go to the two extremes, indulging in sensual desire and self-mortification. The other one is to transcend duality. So that one is also very important. Yeah? Then basically, this Four-Noble Truth is after he proclaimed the avoidance of the two extremes, then he expounded the Four-Noble Truth. Then he turned it three times. So this Four-Noble Truth and its three turning are very powerful for living beings to awaken. So the Buddha to be mentioned, even he himself, while cultivating, he also had to go through the Four Noble Truths and its three turning in this manner before he can proclaim to be the enlightened one, the fully enlightened. So this sutta is very special. Then after that, he followed by Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, which we will also go through later, another day. Then all five ascetic I was listening, become Arahant. So these two, the first sermon and the subsequent Anattalakkhana Sutta, they are very powerful. Yeah. It will bring forth the understanding leading to awakening. Okay? Okay, so now we have to go back to the program. I think we exceeded by 16 minutes. Eh? Never mind. After this, I will cut short the 1 hour meditation yeah, to maybe 45 minutes. Eh? Now we will have 1 hour of our this Dhamma sharing first. Eh? We will flip the meditation to about 10:15. Then you have your 45 minutes. Then we still got 1 more hour to finish. Okay, now we continue from where we stopped. We are at page 85, huh? The last paragraph, 1.2. Okay, maybe I will start a bit first where my throat is still okay. Huh? Maybe later on you'll continue. Page 85, 1.2. Understanding thought and consciousness. Once we input the content of consciousness into our awareness, then consciousness becomes the thought. Hence, thought is equal to consciousness plus its content, which we have gone through. Initially, before the knowing or the arising of thought, there is just this spacious awareness. Listen to this. This is the full explanation. The moment you focus on something, then you input the content of consciousness, then consciousness becomes restricted or limited and becomes a thought. Take for example, seeing. Initially in the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness, no one to see. But the moment you are preoccupied with what you see and without the wisdom, yoniso manasikara, at the moment of sense experience, then the egoic mind, born of sakkaya aditi or wrong view in regards to the atta and the self, or the self has already arisen, causing you to grasp and cling onto what you see. Then your habitual tendency of like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant emotion will arise to condition your mental hindrance of mind to arise. That's how the mental hindrance or sensual desire you will continue to oscillate between the two duality for normal people who are not cultivated all the way. So if every moment of sense experience you create that duality of sensual desire you will, normally you are either attracted to it or you're not attracted to it. That's right. The desire of what you perceive through the senses, or the aversion towards it. So sensual desire, you will are the first two mental hindrance. So you do it so often, what happens is it becomes habitual tendency. Then very difficult to root out because it's like automatic, mechanical. You react to sense experience almost immediately. And if throughout the day it has become habitual, then this one will make you heedless. Then you will, every moment of sense experience, create that movement of thought, stirring of the mind, reaction to what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you tactile, feel, and think. So this is how the first two mental hindrances keep on arising. So if you are throughout the day creating this, what will happen to you? It becomes habits. So it continuously hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. That's why you cannot have the meditative mind. That's why Yun Chan, that day, yesterday, I think, at the dinner table, he was asking me, Theo, the thinking very difficult to stop. It's because of this habitual tendency. In the midst of life, you don't have mindfulness, awareness to be aware, and you have not straightened your view to be at peace in every moment of sense experience. Unless you are at peace, do not stir or react, then the mental hindrance of sensual desire, you will cease. Then when you don't have this, you will have more moment of calmness, peacefulness, space within thought. That's how you start to develop the ability to be aware. Otherwise, you can't. Okay? So this explanation of what the thought is very important. When you understand this, then you understand why awareness-based meditation is very important. If you don't develop awareness, the stability of it, you cannot develop the direct seeing, the wisdom, and you cannot understand who you are, what you are, and how you get yourself into trouble, afflicted. So all this understanding will enable you to straighten your view and transform yourself from a heedless way of habitual living to a heedful way of living. When you are heedful, you become different. Your mind becomes different. There is clarity, there is tranquility, there is stillness, there is awareness. That is your meditative mind. So understand this, okay? Okay, we move on. As form is the product of thought, hence thought can see form. But form cannot see thought because thought has got higher intelligence than form. Likewise, since thought is the product of awareness, hence awareness can see thought or be aware of thought. But thought cannot see awareness because awareness has higher intelligence than thought, which is limited and egoic. So now you understand the process of creation, okay? External form, everything external, phenomenal world, where your senses can perceive them through our consciousness. And when you input the content, it becomes the thought. So thought has that slightly higher intelligence to see external form. That's why form is less intelligent than thought. Thought can see form, but form cannot see thought. So you see this clearly. Then likewise, how did thought arise? At first, it was pure awareness. From our pure awareness nature that first come up. Then because we have a consciousness trapped inside the senses, upon contact, the trigger of the mundane mind, mundane thinking, the thought consciousness. That's why awareness can see thought. Your thought is a product of awareness. Product of awareness means awareness is responsible for the creation of thought. That's why thought can never see awareness. Awareness can see thought. Likewise, thought can perceive external form, but external form cannot perceive thought. So you know the creation process and the hierarchy. Then when you know the hierarchy, you should know the external form actually is not real. Where is dependent originating? And how do you know that external form? Through your consciousness. You perceive it. It's only an image. Consciousness, energy. And basically, it's thought, limited. That's why you hold on to this, you entangle yourself within the conditioned world through delusion, sakkayaditti, avijja. You get yourself entangled. Then external form has power over you. Then you cannot actually develop the wisdom and the understanding to break free. That's why I said, learn to see form. Learn to see the unreality of form. Then only you can see beyond form. Then only you can develop the wisdom not to be deluded or deceived by the external form or the external phenomenal world. Then you return all external phenomenal world's creation back to the thought process, which is your mundane mind. You remember the four stages of creation? Come back to the mundane mind. Then this mundane mind is also impermanent. You attach and cling it to suffering. It's also not a permanent and changing entity. It's also non-self. And to see this thought, You must have higher awareness energy. That's why the awareness nature can see thought. And when it can see thought, means it can see the mundane mind. Then it can understand the movement, then it understand the unreality of the mundane mind. That is dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena, as what Sakyamuni Buddha realized. And he taught us. So when you see mind, the mundane mind, the unreality of the mundane mind, then you can see beyond mind. Understand? That's why all of the creation of the mundane mind and this mundane mind's manifestation loses its power. It has no power over you. You will not drop to the aggregate of the mundane mind. You understand? That's how you're free. That's why if you don't have awareness, you cannot see, you cannot understand, you cannot awaken. You will be trapped at the thought level. And the thought can only see form. It can never go back and see the awareness, which was the one responsible for the creation. That's why Hui Ning, when he heard the fifth Beta Toi, he said, how amazing that this nature is already complete by itself. How amazing all Dharma arise from this nature. You remember the saying? That is how it started the creation. From the source come the pure awareness. Then from the pure awareness, trigger of the mundane mind, the thinking mind. In your meditation, you can realize the true mind, the silent mind, the paucity. You realize that nature and the thought is very near. Split second, it come out of you. Because of our senses, because of memory. That's why awareness need to be trained, need to be stabilized. And to train, you need to understand that without thought, the awareness is already there. Your that nature is all the time there. That nature is like the essence of mind. Essence of mind means what? No need sense object one. Because the conditioned world is dependent originating. So all consciousness that arise through the mundane mind needs sense data. You realize or not? You realize or not? Everything needs sense data. But there is one thing that your nature, the essence of mind, can realize. The complete silence and stillness of nature. That one got no sense data. So who is aware of that stillness, that silence, without sense data? That is your true mind, your essence of mind. Understand? So when you meditate, you will awaken to this. Then you will know. No sense data, how come there is an element that is aware of it? What is that? That's why I say, without thought, who are you? You are just that empty, pure awareness, the unconditioned. That's why you are nothing. You are nobody. You are inside there, like Hui Ning said. But Lai Wu Yi Wu. Originally, it was empty. It got no word, no concept. How can it create anything? But from that nature, through your coming form and mind, it can trigger thought process. The sixth sense door, seeing consciousness, hearing consciousness, smell, taste, tactile, and thought process. That's why all these are thought. Consciousness with its content become thought. Your awareness before the content comes in is not a thought. That is your nature. Understand this. Then when you meditate, all this will surface. You will understand. You will awaken to it. Don't go and look for it. When your thought is actively looking for it, what you say this, then you will get yourself into trouble. Your this make you gullible. So assume you don't know because you haven't realized it. So don't believe it. But diligently with faith, try it out. Meditate. Then suddenly one day when you realize that, that whole thing will connect. Then when you come out of it, oh, no wonder Brother Theo explained this like that. And that is the real understanding. But when you listen already, you commit to memory and knowledge, then you go and look for it in the meditation. Without the awareness, your thought is still active. You don't know. That is what Han is trapped in. Understand? they may have jhana and other things. The mind can be very calm, like no thought. But without awareness, not a free mind, you cannot understand all this movement. And where is Alicia? Oh, meditating. Never mind, never mind. Niyao share. This morning, the morning exercise, she had a very good sharing. You passed the mic to Alicia.
Thank you, Brother Tiu, Mrs. Tiu, and okay, Amita. After exercise, 我感觉到很轻松，然后我就躺下去 meditate， 因为我感觉到我很像很爱睡。
Yeah, the nature telling her to meditate.
So 我就去躺着 meditate，然后我进去你们很久，然后过了差不多有二十分钟，有25分钟，25分钟，对对，还有在我在 exercise 的时候，我可以我会到所有人的 movement，那个 movement 这样子的，然后不然就叫我们那个从这里这样。
Very amazing, according to her. Oh, never see before. Because when you have the awareness, you can see one. You no need to purposely look at the sound. The awareness saw. That's why I told her, Sadhu, later on, you not only see this gross one near you, you will see nature's phenomena. All of its activity and movement. Physical, mental, and nature's phenomena. These three, they always appear. You know what is physical phenomena? All your physical movement, activity, human beings' physical movement, like your exercise, her nature can see. Yes or not? It's not the thought see, that movement. No word. But she got to describe to you. So I mean, the first time she see. Then I say, when this one starts, if you continue to stabilize all this awareness, daily mindfulness, then later on, even in the midst of life, you start to see every phenomenon external. External is what? Nature's phenomenon, understand? And nature's phenomenon, not necessarily just the moving car, the plant, the tree, the flow of the movement of this nature's phenomenon. Even the moving cloud later on. The wind, the breeze, all of nature's whatever activity that inner awareness and nature can see, can be aware of. It is so beautiful. That's why I say the pristine beauty and wonders of nature, you start to see. Then later on with this awareness, you can see your mental phenomena. All of your thought movement activity, you can see that very clear. That is your subtle mental intention, jatena. Your subtle delusion that condition you to be like afflicted or start stirring your mind and reacting. Everything you start to see before this, you can never, never see the subtle greed, the subtle defilement, the one that come back through the back door. All you cannot see. But once you have this type of awareness, which is so stable, it has become part of you, then you start to see. Do you understand? Let's rejoice. Huh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. This is what awareness-based meditation is all about. When you do it correctly, all these things manifest. Not only I can do it, now Kayanamita can do it. And they can see. Understand? So have faith to develop the awareness. The Buddha already said heedfulness is the path to the deathless, the heedful never die. So you need heedfulness to really cultivate, to have a chance to become enlightened. Because the moment you are heedless, you are assisted. You don't stand a chance spiritually. So what is heedfulness? Dhamma Pada verse 23. Ever mindful, constantly meditating, and the steadfast one, they will realize the supreme enlightenment, Nibbana. So that is heedfulness. If you are ever mindful, constantly meditating, you do this steadfastly, day and night, unending. Means continuously cultivate daily mindfulness, very stable. You will definitely realize Nibbana. That is what the Buddha say, you know, not I say. You know. So what is heedfulness? Ever mindful, constantly meditating. So how do you start? I have to train my mind to be mindful first, to be aware first. Then I have to stabilize it. That's why now you look at the four support. This is what you're supposed to do. Relax, aware, stabilize it. Then when you are ever mindful, use it to meditate. Constantly meditating. So ever mindful, constantly meditating. You combine these two, you become heedful. Then you are destined for enlightenment. So constantly meditative is constantly use this awareness nature, the stability of the awareness nature, to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. To cultivate Noble Eightfold Path means inside the Noble Eightfold Path, it covers all aspects of the, what they call essential Dharma of the Buddha. From right view, the field of cultivation is already so wide. Law of karma, law of mind, law of truth. Then, of course, right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, then the four right effort. Then after that is, of course, right sati and samadhi. All this, each and every of these path factor, the field of practice is, the scope is very, very wide. That's why unending. So what you do is, initially when you are heedful, you will see a lot of things that the thought never sees. You will observe through the silent mind the awareness nature of a lot of phenomena that the normal people cannot see. That's why you can awaken an insight into nature's phenomena, into all phenomena within the existential world. Then that insight will bring forth the understanding of the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, anatta that the Buddha mentioned. Then with that, you will root out Sakkaya Ditti, the first fetters gone. Once that one gone, right and ritual cannot deceive you. Understand? Then your faith in the triple gem, solid, cannot move. That three fetters severed, you become a sotapat. That's why that is how enlightenment can arise. So have faith and understand the importance of sati, awareness, stabilize it. Just do it. Then you will progress. You will transform. You will become very different. Okay? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. If you cannot understand, you better ask. So this part is meant to be, I think. My throat is still okay as I explain it. So I read on a bit more. Important inquiry for developing the meditative wisdom. This one is part of Anatta Lakkhana Sutta. Are the feeling, perception, sankara, and consciousness that arise in you really what you are? If feeling and perception, etc., are you, then when they arise and pass away, how come you did not die? So who are you? What are you? If you are not the aggregates of mind, then who are you? What are you? Why did they arise in you? So you have to go deep into it. So the next one is, if the five aggregates of form and mind are not you, then why did they arise in you? Well, this is the inquiry my nature realized. And later on, maybe tomorrow, if I got time, or the next day, I will share the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta. Then you check the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta. The way the Buddha teach is also very beautiful, very powerful, but he didn't include this one. I realized this one myself, and with this, I penetrate the anicca, dukkha, anatta, the five aggregates very easily. Because it's feeling you, because the egoic mind attached and cling to grasp. You think every moment of feeling that you arise through your senses, they are you. True or not? Because when you feel miserable, you think you are miserable, isn't it? When you feel pleasant sense experience, you think you have the pleasant sense experience. When you get angry, you think anger is you, isn't it? That is delusion. The feeling come and go, you didn't die. So how can feeling be you? Don't understand as a theory. Use the third way and the fourth way to overcome unwholesome thought. When this feeling has become emotional, like anger, hatred, and fear, be with it, like what I teach Kotlin. Be with it, stay with it, then you look silent. The awareness realizes it ceases. What does it mean? Means anger, emotion, and fear is not you, not intrinsic in the true mind. They arise through wrong thought, delusion, that condition you to stir. That's why they are dependent originating. There are causes and conditions here. Otherwise, they won't arise. Then when you use your pure awareness to stay with it, don't give it any more delusion, wrong thought energy, then it ceases. Yet this one is dependent, originate, sustained by the wrong thought that give it the energy, the sankhara activity and movement. So when you stay with it, it ceases. Then you understand, hey, anger is not me, fear is not me. All this is delusion, sakrality. Then you wake up. If they are not me, why do I worry about it? Why do I say I still have anger? I still have fear? These are delusions. People who don't understand always say this, especially meditator, cultivator. They say, I went in and out of retreat. After so long, they come out, they thought they cultivated already. But suddenly, in the midst of life, they still realize they can still get angry, emotional, unhappy, miserable when they confront the first of the truth, really. And then, they become very unhappy. Then they say, "Ayo, I still have anger. Anger is an evil. I shouldn't have anger." Then you know what they do? They yearn, don't want to get angry. Actually, they suppress without knowing. So they try to act like they have the understanding. That is not the way. That is thought-based. Cannot free you. You must use the awareness nature to observe, silently awaken to all this. Then liberate the mind free. Okay? Understand? Okay, yeah. Then we move on. Profound prajna. Wonderful wisdom of those who cultivate the Buddha, the Bodhisattva way to become Sammasambuddha is called profound prajna. Then superficial prajna, limited to the understanding of the Four Noble Truths and the 12 links of condition, causation, as taught at the Theravada level. So this one refers to the sainthood way. Yeah? So the sainthood way, they are the Sotapat, Sakadagami, Anagami, and the Arahant. Okay? In the Theravada, they call it Savaka. You heard of Savaka, isn't it? Sound hearer. Those who hear the proclamation of the Buddha when the sasana is there, they heard the Four Noble Truths, the three turning, then they awaken to it. So these are called sound hearer, Savaka. Then the other one is Paccheka Buddha, Anasana. When there is no sasana, they realize the condition arising, dwelling, the teacher Sammapada. Through nature, through their meditation, they realize. But they don't have the 10 perfection. Understand? They didn't go through the complete Bodhisattva way. That's why they call them the silent Buddha. And some of the Theravada scripture, sadly, they say, Paccheka Buddha cannot teach. You heard of this? Oh, do you believe? How can a Paccheka Buddha cannot teach? He don't have that wisdom like the Buddha. He cannot have a sasana. The Sotapanna also can teach you that fire aggregate of form and mind is not you. But beyond that, he is limited. Understand? So please understand, they all can teach at their respective level. Understand? Because they are Arya. So these two categories, pardon Mahayana, they use this word superficial wisdom. If they hear, they are very unhappy. Arahant also superficial wisdom, but it's just a description to differentiate. Understand? Then form dhamma. Huh? This is the one. Form dhamma. Perceptible dhamma at the level of form. First of the five aggregate of form and mind. So the first of the five aggregate is not just physical form, no. External form also included. No. You know what is form dhamma? No? There are a lot of spiritual or religious people. The emphasis is on what? Outward appearances and form dhamma. Understand? No? Oh. You must not create that type of defilement that arise. So the form dhamma, they will actually blame others. No? You wear too short your skirt above the knee, they will say, this one caused lust and temptation to the man. That's why all the rape and all those things happen. Then at the form level, we say, hey, I'm vegetarian. No? At the form level, you try to be vegetarian. You say you are very compassionate. No? Compared to a person who is without vegetarian. Hui Neng, when he was a hunter, what did he take? Rou bian cai. You mean he is less spiritual than you? The animal, the herbivorous cow and the horse, they eat grass. Oh. Understand? Oh? They don't eat meat. No. But you take the cattle's meat. No. What are you trying to do? It's not what you eat that makes you spiritual. Understand? It's the training of the mind. Understand this. Without wisdom, without awareness, you cannot be spiritual. You cannot be holy. Like I always say, without mindfulness, you can't even keep the precept. You understand? So form dhamma is not important. You have to go at least to mind dhamma. The mind dhamma is also thought-based, understand? Then you have to go to the true mind dhamma, understand? Which is awareness based. That is the one that liberates you. So don't be trapped at form dhamma, understand? That's why you know why they categorize it this way, you know. Outwardly, don't try to be spiritual. Inwardly, when you have developed the awakening and the wisdom, that is the real spirituality within you. Okay? Yeah. Okay. Then my Dhamma, not perceptible Dhamma, the remaining four aggregate, they are still my Dhamma. This one is mundane mind. Mind, namely feeling, perception, activity of mind, consciousness. Then you need awareness or mindfulness to see all this mind dhamma. Now you understand. Just like I explained, eh? The thought, the external form, then the awareness. So you need the awareness to see thought. Then you understand thought, you understand external phenomena, you understand form dhamma. So form dhamma, mundane mind dhamma, then the true mind's dhamma. Okay? Yeah. If one cannot see form dhamma, it will be very difficult to see mind dhamma, which is much more subtle and much more less perceptible. Cultivator of superficial prajna can end birth and death of their segmented, delimited, segmented body and mind, but they are incapable or unable to transcend the birth and death of fluctuation, fluctuation of thought, the outflow of thought. They can be enlightened because they don't have ignorance at the arahant level. So at the moment of death, there is no more rebirth consciousness, but their mundane mind is still there when they are still in the midst of living life. So the arahant, most of them, the outflow of thought is still there. The birth and death of thought. That's why this one, they say got outflow. Understand? Yeah. But no more rebirth. Huh? Don't get them wrong. Okay? Previous life could be animal, beta, demons, deva, etc. Then this life, say you are a human being. So which one of these is you? None of them are you, isn't it? So now you understand. The aeons and aeons of birth and death, you are born so many times under so many rhyme of existence. Which one is you? None of them are you. Then why you still cling and hold that this is me, this is I? Like I used to joke. Then you are a human being, you say, yeah, I am brother too. I am Jin Hong. Huh? But when you were born as a chicken and a dog, huh? That one you are. You're very angry. Kichokao. Go and become a dog. When they label you animal, you very bosong. But if they label you hungry ghost, non-human, you lagi bosong. So all this is what the human mind cling on to, absent to. So when you have the wisdom, the awareness nature to understand all this, to awaken more, then you come to know everything is dependent originating, condition arising. No permanent unchanging entity. Not what you think. That's why it's anatta, non-self, empty, not you. Okay? Yeah. My throat dry already. I need Amy to take over. Oh, can you do it? You try. Yeah? Otherwise, I see you. Take off your mask.
Part 3, Meditation 3.1. Post-retreat sharing. 2nd to 8th of August 2012, retreat at Champaka Buddhist Lodge by Ajahn Achalo. Conditions are very conducive and the retreat was very well received by all. It had also benefited so many of them in so many ways. This was made possible because of the continuity of mindfulness, bhavana and great wholesomeness expressed by all throughout the retreat, and it also resulted in such good conditions for many of the participants to experience rather good meditative states and development of their 5 spiritual faculties. The conditions during the retreat are very conducive for good bhavana and wholesomeness training to set the base for our past cultivation to connect back to us, thus helping to speed up our cultivation. Every day, we chant, take refuge, renew our precepts, pay reverential salutation, maintaining quietness, do sitting and walking meditation, and mindfulness bhavana followed by listening to the Dharma, strengthening our views, share merits, transfer and dedication of merits, offering and receiving of dana, radiating metta, Dharma discussions, and meditation reporting, followed by Q&A, Cham Dharma sharing, etc. All these are very, very wholesome and meritorious in nature. And together with the non-humans, our collective group consciousness had created a very conducive environment, which was charged with a lot of very good meditative and wholesomeness energies to benefit so many of us, including all those who had one way or another contributed to the success of this wonderful retreat. This type of retreat is more intense and useful, hence the 5 spiritual faculties and the mind can develop very much faster. It will encourage and motivate many of the participants who have benefited from it to diligently determine to continue their post-retreat cultivation. Do not be complacent, otherwise one will lose this good state of trained mind within a very short span of post-retreat heedless living again. The ability to maintain and continue this good momentum of post-retreat cultivation by integrating it into one's daily life is very important. The momentum of continuous post-retreat devotional, bhavana and mindfulness training while having a very good and disciplined daily religious routine and daily awareness or mindfulness training are equally important. A good daily religious routine can be in the form of at least twice a day of strict devotional and bhavana training, i.e. once in the morning and once at night, before one sleeps, followed by paying respect to the Buddha, every time before you leave your house and every time when you return to your home. Maintain awareness of all your bodily actions and movements within the present moment to cultivate your daily mindfulness until it is very stable. This training of the mind in Kaya Nupassana is to slow down your heedless habitual thinking mind and not your actions and movements. Every movement of awareness or sati will help you to break the momentum of your heedless habitual thinking, thus enabling you to stabilize your daily mindfulness training.
Continue, next chapter.
Okay. 16 Heart Sutra class, plus meditation class, my brother Theo Kian Kun at Wu Ping Jing Shi 17 June 2012, time 3 to 6 p.m. Short notes taken to assist in developing a clearer and better understanding of the sutta discussed. Part 1, recapitulation and emphasis on the previous lesson. 1.1. The six internal sense spaces are our five physical sense spaces, and our one mind base and the six external sense bases are their respective six sense data objects like color, shapes, forms for the eye, vibration, sound, music, noise, etc. for the ear, etc. Upon contact of mind, their respective sense doors consciousness comes to be, and like the physics laboratory experience of the light bulb.
Experiment.
Oh, sorry. Experiment of the light bulb, the switch and the battery, upon contact, the light bulb lights up naturally. So in the same way, our sense door consciousness is also naturally conditioned arising, i.e. upon contact of mind with their respective sense bases and sense objects, their respective consciousness comes to be.
So now you understand, all these are natural process. That's why there is no God behind to create seeing for you. All this seeing, hearing, there is no magic inside there to create, understand, or an entity they call Almighty God, that endow the senses, give you that senses to be able to see, to hear, to smell, to taste, to tactile feel and think. No, they are nature's process, naturally arising, like the physics experiment. If the battery is there, connected in the correct direction, the bulb functioning, then the moment you put on the switch, contact the energy flow, the light bulb light. This is all these conditions fulfilled, then it manifests. And when you off the switch or any of the three, take away the battery, that light gone, understand? They call that when consciousness separate from the form. If the sense basis alone, it cannot trigger off consciousness. That's how you become. They call you dead. Actually, no one died. It's just a separation of the consciousness from the form. The causes and conditions that brings about the living being or the human being, that animate into your alive human being, is no more. Once any of the supporting conditions that trigger off, no more, then that phenomenon ceases to be. But human beings call it death. So what are the three conditions? Physical body with its senses. The consciousness trapped inside since the rebirth consciousness until what it is now. Then the life force, the third one. Any of these switch off, gone. Yeah. So now you can understand what is dependent originating condition arising cause of phenomenon. Why this form and mind karmically conditioned are for us to come to this existential world is not you. But this one is not a permanent unchanging entity. It's not what they call soul, something eternal that continue to migrate from one human being to another human being, or one living being to another living being. No. Like the Buddha said, what is rebirth? Rebirth consciousness is one moment of consciousness. Avijja Paccaya Sankara. We are at the moment of death, there is ignorance. Avijja. That's why the rebirth consciousness straight away manifests. But it needs causes and conditions. So, take for example the human being. The human being, when they give birth to a newborn child, this consciousness doesn't enter until after conception. A few weeks later, depending on the condition. So initially, it's just the sperm and the ovum. They like fertilize. There is a condition all there. Then it starts to subdivide the cells until the senses, until later on the organ develop. Understand? And then only the consciousness can come in. Yeah. Because the doctor will know. Before that, the fetus got no heartbeat. As it grows, subdivide the cell, all those things. Then later on, when it has the necessary basic senses and all those things, Then that karmic force come in, the rebirth consciousness come in, then the life force support it, then the heartbeat start. So that consciousness that enter is the rebirth consciousness. Then the baby when it's born, it doesn't have memory, understand? That's why they are very naive. They don't know how to pronounce anything, no word, nothing. But they have the senses. That's why you see the baby very cute. They can look at the ceiling, look at everything here, everything like very nice. Yeah, they are very innocent, no memory. They don't know how to use word. They don't know how to like verbalize. So all this come later. When you all educate the child or teach the child, condition the child into learning that way. Because the traditional education system, like Jay Krishnamurti said, the education system that we have in our society is not teaching them wisdom, teaching them knowledge, attachment, competitive, to be competitive, and introducing a lot of what they call materialistic type of attachment, attachment to materialistic gain and all that. Because society is such, you must have education, you must have wealth, you must be successful in your career, you must be successful as a politician or an athlete. Then all this come with what? Prestige, recognition, wealth. So the direction of driving is not. So what we learn in the school, in the university is what? A lot of technical knowledge of the mind, of the equipment, otherwise distortion. A lot of technical knowledge, understand? But do we learn how to see who we are, what we are, and how we function as a human? Not taught. Understand? That's why the basic understanding of self-knowledge is not taught. But they have very complete understanding of your anatomy, understand? Everything inside you, how even now the brain, they can map which part of the brain responsible for what. Understand? This is very technical, understand? But the movement of consciousness, the movement of thought as respond to memory, they don't know. Understand? But they have psychological cause. They have psychiatric cause. Yeah, all these are based on thought. Yeah, scientists, the senses are limited. So in order to enhance, to see what they cannot see, they develop microscope, telescope, understand? So everything needs technical assistance to magnify the senses so that the senses can have this ability to see. But if you are in that state of awareness, what you see is different. It's not from the thought process. It's the direct seeing. That's why that aspect, they fail to touch. The scientists, that missing link is the consciousness, the awareness, the pure consciousness, the pure awareness, the awareness nature. Okay? Yeah, continue here. Yeah.
Contemplative wisdom refers to the second learning wisdom called Chittamaya Panya, whereas the meditative or Bhavana type developed via cultivation of the four foundations of mindfulness refers to the third learning wisdom called Bhavana Maya Panya. Wisdom is always linked to harmony. This is the reason why the wise ones are always in harmony and at peace with all things no matter what happens. Sensual desire and ill will are the first two hindrances of the mind that will always arise when one reacts to one's sense experiences without wisdom. Reactions or steering of mind also imply disharmony via wanting things our way. Memory is useful for remembering one's house address, name and bank account, and signature, etc., but not for grasping, clinging, and holding on to our unhappy, sad, and fearful memories of our psychological hurts and emotional past, etc. These scars of memories must not be clung onto, otherwise they can condition one's sadness, grief, sorrow, and lamentation, fear, insecurities, unhappy emotions, etc. Memory should be left in the brain as it is like the ROM and RAM in the computer, i.e. we do not cling onto it, but only access it when we need to make use of it to perform certain useful and appropriate...
Wait, Maya. Maybe I have to explain a bit more. The ROM and the RAM, only IT people understand. And I forgot to put in the bracket to explain. ROM means read-only memory. That's needed for programming. RAM means random access memory. Means all the data that you need. You want it, you access it, but randomly you can access. So the computer is very fast because the program is such, they can sort, they can search, and they can access it very fast. So if you can do that, then the human brain becomes extraordinary. But the human brain doesn't have that input from the IT system analyst. The system analyst who know how to draw up the program, once it is correct, then that program work very well, you understand? But if you are a lousy system analyst, a lot of error, here error, there error, it doesn't function. So the human brain is the same. Because you don't know what is RAM and what is ROM, what is psychological memory and what is mechanical memory. Psychological memories are all your psychological hurt, your psychological fear that affect your emotion, all those things. This type of memory, technically, you shouldn't allow it to create havoc in you or suffering and misery in you, like scars of memory, phobia, insecurity. Then why you accumulate them? Because human beings, before they become enlightened, before they have the Dhamma, that thing is so traumatic, understand? It hit you and it causes you so much fear, phobia, that it accumulates deep into your, what they call, unconscious and the subconscious. And it stays there. Even though after a long time, of course, when immediately, like when they are raped or child abuse or whatever, or they've gone through very frightening war or whatever, that trauma, that's why they got trauma, I think Dr. J, no, they got a what that cater for traumatic people with traumatic problem. So that one can last for a while. Then after they give consultations, psychiatric advice, everything, then maybe with a drug or whatever, it helps. Then they slowly, slowly recover. But after they recover, it's not rooted out, temporary solution. So what happens is, they become dormant, like Eckhart Tolle say, pain body, but dormant. No condition to trigger. So what happens is, when there is condition to trigger, they see something similar that recall to memory, straight away, that frightening thought, the fearful thought, the phobia set in again. The thought is respond to that memory. Because that is the trigger, the pain body trigger. That's why it suffers. So it comes back. So this is why psychological memory, you cannot claim. But what is mechanical memory? Technical memory. And that one you need. Like who are you? Your name? Where do you stay? How you sign your checkbook, all those things, understand? Then learn technical thing, understand? Arithmetic, math, mathematics, science, physics, chemistry. That one you need, mechanical memory. That one don't cause you suffering. But when you go and fear the exam, that one is not mechanical, huh? That one is psychological memory. You have the fear of failing the exam, understand? So distinguish it. Memory, like thought, neither good or bad. Understand? But psychological memory, you accumulate and attach and cling because you are not enlightened. That's why you get into trouble. But when you have the Dhamma, you have awakened. Psychological memory got no problem. I can still recall, I can still share. But I so far don't have. Luckily, since birth until now, I don't have. But whatever happened, that I have weakness or what, I got no problem. I can make a note, finish. Because for me now, the brain, the aggregate are non-grasping. So I cannot go and hold on. It cannot cause my mind to react to anything. Because it understood they are all not real. Dependent originating condition arising cause of phenomena. Then no mark of a self, no mark of others, no mark of Dhamma, life, existence. So all this is already in the nature with the wisdom. That's why it has no power over you. But before you have all this, psychological memory is very, very powerful. It can trigger off a lot of trauma, a lot of phobia, fear, panic attack. That's why a lot of people suffer when they become depressed, when they develop all this delusion, then it has power over them. This is what Dhamma is, not theory, not what you think. Relate to life, relate to day-to-day happening. What happened to your brain? How you accumulate and how you use it. That's why the user of the thought is very important. If you don't have the Dhamma and the wisdom, you will become deluded, hideous. Then thought has power over you. Thought can deceive you, can create havoc in you. That's how affliction arise, suffering, misery, sorrow, lamentation. This is how it trigger off. So hopefully with this understanding, you can stabilize your understanding. That way you meditate with awareness. When you have the awareness, you can understand what I say. Then all this become very clear to you. Okay? So number one, awareness, sati, mindfulness, stabilize it. Okay? Yeah. Next one. Continue.
True or actual meditation only begins when one's daily mindfulness has stabilized. That is when one is always aware and heedful throughout the day to investigate the Buddha Dhamma in daily life via cultivating the four foundations of mindfulness to truly understand who we are, what we are, how we function as a human being via self-knowledge, and how we become what we are via understanding how our mind stirs at every moment of sense experience and how we are conditioned into various mind states of suffering due to our own delusion and ignorance. The silent mind in clear, stable awareness or mindfulness will enable us to be aware of the sense doors consciousness that arise at every moment of sense experiences, thereby enabling us to witness all of the Buddha Dhamma and the Four Noble Truths, the law of dependent origination, etc., as taught by the Buddha, within our own form and mind or phantom-length body. These witnessings via the direct seeing can give rise to a lot of wisdom, leading to the awakening or enlightenment in the here and the now. Part 2, Heart Sutra, Lesson 16, Prajna and Emptiness, page 32 to 33, 2.1. Silence your mind and be aware from within or inside to realize the true mind. Then you will understand why only wisdom frees and liberates the mind and nothing else. Then you can understand Master Xuanhua's commentary that states, with wisdom you can very naturally reach the other shore of Nirvana, very easily, very naturally. You get to the other shore without any need expend any effort at all. 2.2 question. Is the divine innocence of a newborn baby the same as the enlightened state? Brother Theo's answer, no. The newborn baby's condition is different. Only the mind state of pure perception is quite similar. The reason being, in the case of the baby, the so-called pure perception comes about via a brain that is still quite innocent and pure, in the sense that it is not conditioned by any memories, views, opinion, conditioning, or concept and words as yet. So the main difference is that mind state is not born of wisdom, whereas for those of the enlightened ones, their perceptions are still pure perceptions despite their memories, conditioning, etc., due to their wisdom, and there is clarity within their pure perceptions. That is, they are like a lotus flower. They are still pure and above the lotus pond, even though they originate from the filthy lotus pond below.
Very good. Okay. We will stop here. I explain a bit. So this one is a very good explanation. Your people say, oh, if like that become a baby, very good. They have directly the officer. Yeah. But the baby, without the memory being cluttered like you, like most people without Dhamma, they have a lot of psychological memory, their fear, their phobia, their insecurity. Every of this rubbish is inside there. So you cannot compare the two. But as the baby grow up, then you find out whether the fear of perception can still be there. Or cannot, because their brain, their education system is the wrong one. They use the mundane mind all the time to build up the identity, the ego, the attachment, the thinking to be competitive, to chase after materialistic gain, to develop selfishness, aggressiveness, take advantage of people, become what they call cunning, scheme here and there. Do all this nonsense. This is what the world is. You look at the politician, pardon me, of course there are some good ones, but very rare. The good politicians are as rare as the enlightened people. That is a good comparison. Hardly find anyone. So, please don't quote me. Okay, we will have to rest for meditation. 10:17. Okay, I give you 40 minutes.
British,
ah, yes.
It's the stage as the baby and
Wait. Yeah, Suyan got a good question.
So Brother Theo, this 2.2, the difference between a baby and an enlightened being, so it's like a newborn baby and a venerable Hui Ning, isn't it?
No.
Hui Ning is born without the mundane mind. Okay? So without the mundane mind, of course he has that clarity. But the problem with him is he was born in a rural area where he wanted them as parents. That's why the name come, the monk upon birth came and delivered the name. So what happened is, because the father last time was the government official, then because of some problem, people complained, then he get into trouble, then they banished him to a very rural area. Then hardship. So he got no education. He was illiterate. But he do his duty. He chop firewood, earn very little, support the mother, everything. Then one day, at the age of 20 or 20 something, before 20 or around 20, he suddenly heard the Diamond Sutta. Then he awakened. Of course, he also exposed to that conditioning that time, the village type of conditioning. Maybe not so materialistic, the life and all that. So he was very simple. He was most of the time with nature. So Hui Ning, because of his past, he has this ability to comprehend truth. The more he hear, he understand. But the baby that don't have the past forgot the pure awareness. The pure awareness is by virtue of the brain clean. Understand not? Not so conditioned, not cluttered yet. Understand? There is not much thing inside them. Clarity. That's why they are very innocent. They are very cute. When they need food, they cry. When they need to discharge, pee, they pee. Understand? They don't wait for you. Understand? But they follow nature. Understand? Whatever that condition them, like we went through the three karmic things. Yeah? Obstacle. Retribution obstacle. Remember? Then the other one is regarding activity, your career one. Then the other one is, the final one is the coming one, the actual affliction, obstacle. So it depends on the coming inside there. Then as it grow up slowly, slowly, the baby, 1 year or 2 year old, coming already. At first you give, you ask him to give you back, he give you back. But 1, 2 years old, he tasted nice, he don't want to give you back again. You realize or not, the kid? That's how they develop all this conditioning. So the difference is, like I say, the enlightened being, despite all this memory, conditioning, views and opinion, all things, it's not affected. That's why they can have the direct seeing, because they develop the pure awareness. They go back to the pure awareness. They don't stay at the mundane mind. Hui Ning, no mundane mind, that's why he can comprehend, he can see, he can understand. It's like when I was young, I remember. Although the Mandirma was there, I like to sit alone, look at the sky. And sometimes I sit on a bench, I look at nature. Then I saw this tree where the leaf, there is a movement on the floor. Then I felt very strange. At that time, I was only 7, 8 years old. I don't understand what it is, but it attracted me, you know. Then I said, maybe there is something there. There's a reason. Then later on, when I grow up and when I know what sati is, then I can have the direct seeing and I saw all the phenomenal moving. Then I realized when I was young, that was what I saw. That was what I have really cultivated. So when you are born, you will have that type of thing behind on. Yeah. I developed the sati until very, very stable and very deep and very far. That's why I have one teacher. I think the second last one. Okay. When people talk about mindfulness, he said, you go and ask Tio. Because when I reported to her how my consciousness transformed, my awareness transformed, she knew that she warned my wife, he is going to become a monk. But because later on I come to know the monk is inside. The Acharyantra told me, if the rope make you a monk, then I tie the rope on a tree, the tree also become monk. True or not? It's not the rope. It's inside. If your inside is not transformed, you cannot be a monk. Listen. So hopefully with this explanation, people understand. That's why although that time I take refuge, then I travel the spiritual trip I want to see, wherever affinity, I go for Katina, I want to see. That's why I see the benefit. I realize how important those things, activity were. The faith drives you, and you go to places that you're supposed to go, the great beings, nature, everything. I can draw the energy. That's why I understand. And when I'm with good teachers, their metta, their loving kindness, their understanding, they shine forth every day. Then when I listen, if there is truth, I understand. That's why I have affinity with Mahabhava too. Normally, he don't allow people to go into the kuti without appointment. That night we went, surprisingly, 8 of us, we went in, and he invited us to his private kuti and gave us one or two boxes of his tape, although in time. Then normally, I heard, you ask for a photo with him alone, he seldom agree. That trip, every one of us, he took photo. Until Pearly, wave, he don't believe me. Then I send the photo to her, she realized. Because all this depends on condition. He can sense. He can sense. So a lot of these things, that's why later on, when I came out to share and teach, I wanted to continue that tradition of taking you all on a spiritual trip. I set up the Kayan Mita Fund first, you remember? That was the only thing I set up. I don't want to set up society. There was no point. But the Kayan Mita Fund is very powerful. That's why the Kayan Mita Fund can drive the Kayan Mita consciousness. And this one can do a lot of wholesomeness because the Kayan Mita Fund is the only fund that can actually do a lot of things that I share. All the books, the transcript, everything, the material, this whiteboard, this chair, everything bought by Kaya Mita Fund. Understand?
Website.
Huh? Website. Website also, funded by Kaya Mita Fund. This recorder also, sometimes Sui An Mi Phong donate. But initially, we also use Kaya Mita Fund to buy. So, hopefully, with this understanding, you develop more and more understanding of what this way is, the cultivation is. Then when you progress, you will develop more understanding. Then as you learn from more and more teacher, more and more those great beings, nature, then you yourself can evolve your own understanding. Understand? Then when you come, you can teach like my nature. Understand? So this is how the development of spiritual cultivation get propagated and developed. So without all this sharing and understanding, it can't. If I have not come out to share because of Yun Chan, you all should thank Yun Chan. There is all this won't happen. Anasana. All this won't happen. Left side, everything won't happen. That's why Yun Chan will think like that, because Monday my talking. Do you know, Yun Chan, you are one of the one that is chosen to invite.
Like,
understand? That's why I say your parami is very good, but you don't know how to make use of it. You must invoke power of this. Understand? What I'm telling you, no need to remember one. Your parami is very, very powerful, very unique. Just whatever spin off from here originate from you. Understand? And you are the chosen one to come and approach me. Well, for 15 years, nobody see me. 16 years. You ask 3 times, no? Without you knowing, no? You are not the chosen one. Then how did you ask 3 times? It was just a trip, you remember? You organized the only trip. The only trip you organized in Vipassana. Later on, you told me. She bring Stephanie to my class. I remember that. After the class, they want to take us for lunch. We went for Yong Tau Fu, I remember. There, this one. No. That place is called what? Mega after Taman Mayang. The new place. Aman Surya. I still remember. You see, you brought so many Kayapita. You created such conditions. That's why this parami originate from there. Meant to be. And your parami, listen again, I told you 3-4 times already. You never listen. Invoke power or merits of that wholesomeness, understand or not? By the power of this wholesomeness, may arise the causes and conditions for me to realize the true Dhamma, to awaken as soon as possible. So invoke that one. Otherwise, your coming obsession that block you to continue to do the old way of meditation will always remain there. I told you already, lie down or sit, relax, maintain awareness. No matter what you do, maintain awareness. Forget about what they teach you, noting, vipassana. Forget about it. Walk naturally, sit naturally, lie down naturally, then silence. Assume you don't know anything. Start from a clean slate. And find out, what is this awareness? When I'm just aware without thought, what is it? Who am I without thought? Go into it. Not much time left now. You're older than me, you know. Understand? Not say shorter. It's older than me. Rabbit, isn't it? Oh, cow. Cow. My parents, all cow. 2 cow. My father, my mother, cow. Oh, you are cow. Oh, no wonder 5 years. Cow is 5 years. You are jigu. I 7 horse. 5 years different. So he's 73 now, still healthy. Where to go? Sadhu. Still a lot of energy. Very good. So don't worry, it's a good comment or good compliment. So understand it and with the faith, move, do. You have the parami. It's only you don't know how to make use of it. It's just like you have all this wealth in you, but you don't know how to access it, and so you store it like in the bank. Whatever in the bank is not your money. The bank hold your money, but if you use it, it becomes your money. Understand? That's why whatever store in your karmic nature is still not your money yet, until you use it. Understand? Make use of it to manifest what you want. So spiritual wealth is like that. It's like our normal materialistic wealth. It can allow you to use it for things that are allowable. Understand not? Like you want to buy something for your family, TV, house, or you want to go for a tour or what. All these are allowable. Understand? But if you want to use that wealth to say you want somebody else's boyfriend or husband, I cannot. They don't agree. Understand not? Or you use it by the power of this money, may I be enlightened today? Cannot. No causes and conditions. So there must be causes and conditions. There must be something allowable. So when you apply invoke power or merit for causes and conditions where you make aspiration, adhitana, or it must be within the condition world. There must be causes and conditions for it to manifest. That's why you use it. Understand? For the good of yourself and the many. Can you understand? Because she passed, huh? She don't learn Dhamma this way. Huh? She learned Dhamma the old traditional way. That's why I realize she very long way. She's 204 until now. But very difficult for her to understand. Because she keep on holding on to the knowledge and the understanding that he taught, you know. And she was the one that last time used to tell me, but you keep on repeating one. Remember, he cannot understand what you say. He said, you keep on repeating one. Correct, analysis, but because it was the karmic conditioning. In the past, don't know what she did, when people developed the right teaching or what, she pulling Chu Yan, ask people to learn the other one. But one thing good, she somehow got that parami to actually invite me, you know. And that one, I think, is one, if I'm not wrong, is one of the encounter in the past with my nature. Then you must have requested it that time. Otherwise, you won't be the one. Yeah. Then similarly, Eng Pi and Mi Fong, together with Sri An later, I went to Subang is because of her. I went and give a talk at JBA. After that 1.5 to 2 hour talk, she came and see me together with me. She said, oh, you're very good. I said, within the 1.5 to 2 hour, you can summarize all of the essential Dhamma that is inside there. Then he asked me the next question, what do you teach meditation? Yeah, I said, I did. Then Mi Fong was apprehensive. Because he know envy do vipassana, rising, falling one. So Mi Fong know I teach differently. Mainly like anapanasati and no method, no technique one. So he like reluctant, is it? Two of us only, you know. Then you know I said, I said, no problem. If you are serious, one also I teach. Amy, remember. Oh. Then after that, Mi Fong suggests the no temple or what. Then Amy said, no, go to your house. Then he told Suyan. Then Suyan very smart. First class, he SMS. So six person turn out, I remember. Not five, six. This is how it happened. That's why they have the parami. Understand? And Sri An also got a lot of parami. He helped out a lot. Initially, he was the one behind organizing everything, buying all this. Where he is an electrical engineer. He got very good technical understanding. The recorder. This recorder is very good, no, very clear. And very cheap, you know, that time he bought it. Very cheap. So all this, yes, Yun Chan want to say something. Yeah.
Indeed, very good just now. The chanting was very good.
You ask Dr. J, you never heard this type of vibration before.
But together, the vibration was very good.
Yeah, you know who want to listen. Up there. That's why I asked her to chant the Pali one. Yeah. Oh, sadhu, sadhu. Then you should open up your heart. That's not. yeah, Alicia. Wow, now more and more people want to share. Better.
Thank you. Actually, I haven't heard this Dhamma.
Jagabhavatana Sutta.
But just now, in B chant 的时候, I don't know why my heart
动得很厉害，而且一直哭，然后后来的感觉就是我回来了。因为这个你听过了的，是，可是我这里，你知道什么？一定空的这边，因为这边 cannot understand your nature. You listen from your awareness nature. That's why it moves inside. The insight understand. Like Pao Lian, cry there also don't know the compassion. I don't know. Then later on, after the class, he come and say, but that day I feel very good. Huh? Pao Lian, why so quiet?
Oh, because I feel very shameful because just now the chanting, I was sleepy. I was thinking, yeah, yeah, he's going to stop.
Luckily, like that, oh. Means you overcome your karmic thing. Oh. Otherwise, you cry worse than last time, oh, I tell you. That's why the karmic obstructions, the second level, oh, means the milder level, oh. Not the first one. The first one clear. The second one, eh? You listen to the, you cannot listen on. Because last time you disturb people. You prevent people from listening, understand? Or from listening to the Dhamma, everything. The practitioner, all the triple champ, he go and create havoc as a Mara, as a non-human. That's why he has this type of coming. So when you have this type, after you clear the first level, second level, people chant, you cannot listen on. You doze over. See? He doze over. And the thought say what now? When is he going to stop?
Oh,
definitely. Luckily, he didn't transgress out. It's like grasping already, you know, aversion or negative. But yeah, luckily you have the understanding. You didn't burst out. No wonder so quiet lah. Ah, Bhutasya, when Yun Chan was full of joy, my heart opened up. His brain also closed, not only closed, everything closed. Hey, this is what Dhamma is all about. Now. This is what causes and condition, affinity, past causes and condition, and karma are all about. So don't play a fool with karma, understand? No? You get yourself entangled without the sasana, without people who have the understanding. You cannot clear one, I tell you. So hopefully, you all can learn and develop all this understanding.
So Alicia, which of the five will you?
No, it's not the five. Not the five. We are that sutta, a lot of people here, later on, Ananda keep on repeating it. And the devas up there, you know, 2,600 years, to them it's 26 days. Every day is 100 years now. Understand? The Chakumaraja one is every day is 50 years. Up there, every year, every day is 100 years. So 26 days. You know. It's not too long ago. That's why they remember you. You go to Anandagiri, you cannot go. Yeah. Then when I invite Samantha in my house, you also cannot. They remember you.
I also want to share the chanting. This is the first time I heard it in this style. Previously, there were just like minor energy I would feel when the chanting happened, the monotonous style. Mm. This one, when there was emphasis on certain parts, like the samaditi, samavaya,
that
part, my heart was rejoicing and rejoicing.
Yeah, yeah,
and
sadhu, then, sadhu.
I don't, some of the words I don't even understand. Something niro.
Chakko, upadi. A lot of upadi.
But certain parts is just rejoicing.
Tomorrow, when I go through the English version, you will understand. You will rejoice more.
Yeah,
sadhu. Yeah, the Pali is very accurate. Transmitted now through chanting. Don't go wrong. The Pali. Okay? Anything else? Yeah, yes, because he has the voice, still young. But Engdi was very well trained, skilled, and with the understanding and the faith, everything. That's why luckily Engdi is I can get her to chant.
Because I know Dr. J from ABC, Aloka Buddhist Center.
There is one.
Danny. Danny and me learn under late Brother Kenny Chan.
Oh, no wonder.
They had the same chanting guide.
Oh, no wonder. Wow, when he lead the chanting, when I was there, when I was in Malacca recently, he lead the puja. Wow, the voice, I heard, appreciate. Really, solid.
But still, you haven't heard Brother Kenny Chan, son.
Oh, like it, son.
He is the one level higher.
Oh, yeah.
Or many layers higher.
Sadhu, sadhu.
Sadhu.
Yeah, that's why no wonder ABC, they got a lot of people interested in chanting, huh? Because it is your past that wanted this. And it's a good parami, huh? Don't get me wrong. Huh? Because this is what you are good at, you should continue. Then your this vibration and all this thing, your ability to chant that will contribute. Because different cultivator with different skill, different speciality, they will come, understand, like the Buddha's time. The disciple, sub in psychic, Monglana, Sariputta, wisdom. Then ascetic practice is that Kasapa, understand, that Ananda, elephant memory. Oh. Then you got Anuruddha, divine eye. And there are so many. You know. Then you can see, you know, later on, Angulimala also take refuge, you know, despite what he did. You know. So there are causes and conditions behind. That's why the Buddha said, the law of karma is very, very complicated, very complex. Only, actually he said, only Sammasambuddha can fully understand. Very true. He's not like telling something that is not true. What he said is very true. But later on, I realized how to develop the understanding. Because there are people who actually together with me on that time, one lady who also do the meditation. Then later on, the past connect, he did the jhana and all that. Then later on, she thought she can teach her. She tried to teach her. Then she got into trouble. Then she came and asked me, Pratyo, how do you teach? They asked me funny question and I cannot answer. Because everyone is different. She don't understand. So it's not easy. That's why when I came out, I realized, how come I have this ability to understand all this and guide accordingly and share accordingly? Before I start, I was so cautious. That's why I told Yin Chan, unless you agree to the three conditions, I don't want to come out. Then they agree, so I come out. Then after I come out, you realize what I set out, Kayamita Fan, all those things, no change until now. Then I said, no authority, sharing, not a one-way traffic, understand? So all these things, then no right, no wrong, no argument. So until now, still very good. Then what I share since 2004 until now, the Dhamma is still the same. I never change anything. Sri Anushao is the best. No need to write all the five mental hindrances, the five spiritual faculty, the greed, hatred, and delusion, then all the wrong thought. Keep on many years or there. So if Yun Chan were to go there, operative, you repeat until how many times? So a lot of these things need understanding. But those who attend, who have the faith, they know. Every time I look like repeat, I use another approach to explain the five spiritual faculty and five mental hindrance. Then through the years of sharing and teaching, I realized slowly, slowly, a lot of kayamita starts to develop the understanding. That's why, anybody want to ask person? No. That's why, because of that, my nature knows, if I don't repeat, you all cannot recall, you all cannot develop that. Because these are so new. What I teach is almost 100% opposite of what you are learning. Society's type of Dhamma. So if I don't repeat, you all cannot really grasp or cling or understand. Even after repeating so many times, still people have problems. Even Song also told me, but the first 5 years really cannot understand you. Then PG also, first few years also cannot understand. But later, because they have the parami, they have the affinity, they continue to see, then suddenly they understand. You can only understand when you have the ability to go into the awareness nature, the silent mind. But this teaching comes from the awareness nature, the silent mind. Okay? So let us rejoice. Okay, you all can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the train or develop mind state that are needed for you to develop the daily mindfulness, so that you can develop the ever mindful state of mind to continue to develop the cultivation leading to heedfulness. Okay? Okay, so now I think slightly after 11:03. So we can continue until 12. Okay. Part 3, page 91. 3.1. Five ways to overcome unwholesome thought as taught by the Buddha. So this one we have gone through, but I will read through again. When one encounters adversity without wisdom, the mind will stir to condition one's unwholesome thought and unwholesome emotion. So this one is a very important understanding. When you lack yoniso manasikara or wisdom, born of Dhamma understanding, then when you live life and encounter adversity without this understanding, the mind will react and stir to sense experience. Then it will condition you into emotion, which are usually unwholesome thoughts, like anger, hatred, fear, worry, anxiety, insecurity. So when this type of negative thought or unwholesome thought that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion arise, what must you do? So the Buddha actually taught the four right efforts and combined with the five ways to overcome unwholesome thought. So now you listen. The first way is to think of the direct opposite wholesome thought. For example, if there is anger, then develop metta. If there is cruelty, then develop compassion. And if there is fear, develop faith. So this one we have gone through. Second way is think of the consequence of holding on to the unwholesome thought or evil thought. Because if you do not abandon them, then the evil root, which is the root of all evil, will condition you into becoming an evil person. For example, anger can condition you into hatred and violence. An angry person can kill, harm, and abuse others. Then the third way and the fourth way is meditative. The third way is just relax and let things be. This is the meditative way developed via understanding that the natural state of mind before it's stirring is already the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and silent inner awareness. And that the very flowering of that unwholesome thought is the very ending of that thought. If you don't give it anymore, fuel to proliferate means the negative thought energy, the wrong thought. The fourth way is to trace the origination factor, then retrospectively reverse them via the cultivation of mindfulness of Dhamma, Dhammanupassana. That is, via cultivation of mindfulness of the six internal and six external sense bases to develop the wisdom to free the mind. We have already gone through. So the third way is very useful, very important. When you are aware, you don't do anything, then the wrong view of cease. Then that unwholesome thought, once it loses its supporting condition, also cease. Through that, you will understand the defilement wants no more, the unwholesome thought knows no more. The mind returns to its original state of tranquility, stillness, inner peace, inner awareness. This is what your true mind is, your meditative mind. Then when you reflect and contemplate, you will come to understand that emotion that arises, that anger or the fear or insecurity, was never you. Because they come and they go. They arise due to wrong view, condition, cease, when that wrong view ceases. So being aware is a purifying force that can purify all negativity or emotion or mental states. Yes, mindfulness is very important. Heedfulness is very important. When you stay with the awareness nature will return to its original state. Then even the mundane mind that has the emotion, the anger and the hatred and the fear will cease. Then the mundane mind also at peace, understand not? The mundane mind stir is because of the wrong view. So when the wrong view is gone, the mundane mind return to its original state before the stirring. That's why you will realize the true mind without thought, the true mind surface. Then you will come to know, like the Buddha said, this sankhara or negative emotion or wrong thought, they are dependent, originating, condition arising, causal phenomenon. So every time you have a problem, if you use the third way, you will solve your problem. But that one, the wisdom is not penetrative enough. You have to go to the fourth way, which is tracing the origination factor. When you are mindful of your internal sense bases and external sense bases, you will know at the moment of sense experience which sense data come to which sense organ. Whether it's the eye through the seeing consciousness or ear through the hearing consciousness. Means the vibration and everything. Or you recollect through memory the fear, the phobia, the insecurity through the thought consciousness. So all these three doors are the main door that can trigger off wrong thought. Unwholesome thought that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and evil. So when you trace the origination factor, then you will come to know when you see something, you perceive it in negativity following your old conditioning from your brain, from your belief system, your tradition, your conditioning. Then the habitual tendency stir the mind, created that negative emotion of fear or anger or hatred or insecurity or anxiety, panic attack, all those things. So when you understand the origination factor, then you can retrospectively reverse it through inquiry. If that is the case, how can I straighten my view so that I will not have wrong thought? And that one we have gone through. That's why I have taught you the answer. What did the Buddha taught us when he said we have to meditate with the mindfulness, the silent mind, the inner awareness, so that we have this ability to see things as they are. That is the reality. That is the truth at that moment within nature. When conditioned like that, things will be like that. So if you have the ability to see things as they are, means you don't see with your memory, your perception, your views, opinion, and conditioning to haunt you, to stir your mind. That's why acting according to memory is not acting at all. Now your memory is full of psychological memory, which are very negative. Your fear, your phobia, your selfishness. So you act according to that. You're acting according to your fear, your phobia, your insecurity, your belief system, your selfishness, your emotional negativity. Then how can you free? You can't. That's why you must act according to the Dhamma way, which is the wisdom way, following the Noble Eightfold Path. Then learn to see things as they are. Then I already give you the answer, how to see things as they are. Whatever you see, the world is the world. People are just the way they are. The world is the world means conditioned like that, things will be like that, cannot be otherwise. People are just the way they are means deluded people do deluded things. Angry people do angry things. Selfish people do selfish things. Arguing people, conflicting people will do all those things. That's how the world is. So we have that understanding, we straighten our view, then we can be at peace with all situations, with all living beings. Then how do we proceed from there? We doesn't leave it there. We only develop the understanding to be at peace because we understand these are reality, we cannot change it. If you want things our way, which is not nature's way, you suffer. Like the first noble truth, reality. You cannot get what you want due to your craving, your desire, then suffering is the result. So this is how you straighten your view, and the next moment you perceive that situation, with the understanding to see things as they are, to accept the reality, then you are at peace. When you are at peace, you have clarity of mind. You are not deluded. You don't have negative emotion. That's why there is no condition for negative karma to come. But you continue to react to it. It will stir the evil root and condition negative karma, where it is the condition for it to arise. So solving problem, the so-called problem, human problem, society's problem, nation and nation's problem, all this conflict, you need understanding. So understanding means I accept the reality first, then I act, then I move. How do we act? We must act with Noble Eightfold Path, following the Dhamma way, the wisdom way. Then we can, from there, develop the understanding to resolve things amicably so that nobody is hurt, entangled with karma. So resolving issue amicably is very important. And how do we do that? Only Noble Eightfold Path can do it. Yeah, Noble Eightfold Path has right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right for effort. Samasati and Samasamadhi. All the eight power factors got no negativity. Because of that, it has the power to do all this. So understand, eh? The third way leading to the fourth way. Okay, hopefully this one make it very, very clear. Okay, next page. The fifth way, no need, eh? We have gone through already. 3.2. Is it all right to indulge in positive thought during formal sitting meditation? This is a question. For example, the questioner says, like recalling a thought of doing good deeds. So Bradley will say, not advisable, because it's like trying to create good memories for the good state of happy mind moment, which is a form of thinking. Essential indulgence or craving for this happy mind state, whereas radiating loving kindness, oh sorry, I read again. Which is a form of thinking and sensual indulgence or craving for this happy mind state, whereas relating loving kindness or metta is different, where it's not from the thinking. It is from the heart with the pure feeling of true metta. You are silent and you relate that peaceful metta sincerely from your heart. But to do that, you must have metta. Understand that? Without metta, you cannot relate it out. One way is to wheel it out. That one also not bad. That one is thought based. Yeah? You wheel it out. You visualize somebody, then you wheel it out. Then you relate the metta. So the other one is when your nature has the metta, that metta just flow very soothing from your heart. It just come out. There's a very soothing energy. It's like flowing out soothingly. Okay, we go on. When you are in a sitting posture during formal meditation training, try not to do that because it will not bring about Bhavanamaya Panna, the turning of the meditative wisdom, the turning of the Four Noble Truths. During the formal sitting meditation, your focus is to initially train and tame the mind, or tame the heedless thinking mind into a relaxed state of silent inner awareness. Then after that, when it is stabilized, when it has stabilized, keep it silent and just be aware within to understand what is going on within our own formal mind. So this is silent inner awareness, silent observation of the truth and the reality. So as to develop the third turning, direct seeing wisdom as taught by the Buddha. Understanding that the first and second turning wisdom are less penetrated than the third turning wisdom, which is born of the direct seeing. Hence, the second turning wisdom, via reflection, contemplation, and inquiry into the truth, as proclaimed by the Buddha, should only be done during normal day mindfulness training and silent, relaxed, contemplative session and moments. Chapter Heart Sutta, 17 Heart Sutta class, and meditation class. Part 1, 1.1, direct seeing. Direct seeing refers to the silent mind in pure awareness to see things as they are without any thought to arise the third turning, wisdom, bhavana, maya, panya. If you have wisdom, the five aggregate of form and mind will not be a problem because they will be non-grasping aggregate. Reversing the light of awareness to shine within, to cultivate the daily mindfulness with clear comprehension or sati sampajana is very important. The three types of wisdom. Like, whenever you are not peaceful and not happy, the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion are there. Whereas wisdom leads to peace, harmony, love, happiness, and joy. This is the Dhamma to contemplate constantly, and it is a very good check for all cultivators. So this one we have gone through. Huh? Buddha reprimanded Ananda on the saying, see no evil, hear no evil, then you are peaceful. Because according to Buddha, evil or not evil is all in the mind. The world is the world, and it is not a problem. You have wisdom to confront this reality, for nobody can make you unhappy or miserable unless you allow yourself to be so via your own delusion. There are three types of wisdom like. The first one is Suttamaya Panya. The Mahayana call it Prajna of language. This one we have gone through. And second wisdom like is Prajna of contemplation, which is Chintamaya Panya. Then the last one, third wisdom light, the light of the prajna of characteristic or actuality, is equal to the direct seeing wisdom or the third turning called Bhavana Maya Panya. This one I have shared before the next paragraph. The four stages of creation. Return all external form or manifestation created by the mundane mind to mundane mental consciousness or the thought consciousness. Then mental consciousness to the pure awareness or true mind to realize the Buddha nature or oneness nature, which is also the source of all things. So there is the diagram with all the four stages of creation, stages of creation, where it actually happened. So when you understand this, you will know how to return them. So I will read. The first one is the Buddha nature or the oneness nature. Or sometimes they call it the source. Then the first thing to come out is the pure awareness, the silent mind. It's also called the true mind. Then from the true mind, the dependent originating condition arising, mundane mind, arise. The knower become the living being, which is the fire here for my mind. Traveler in space and time. Yeah. Karma. That's how living beings become deluded. Then the external form of phenomenal world. So external manifestation of mind created via mental consciousness is the external form of phenomenal world of consciousness and form. So that one is created by your thought, your thinking mind. You give meaning, you grasp, you cling, you get yourself afflicted. When you understand that you awaken to it, that they are unreal, like I explained. Learn to see form, the unreality of form. Then you can see beyond form. Form has no power over you. Learn to see mind. Learn to see the unreality of mind. Then you can see beyond mind. That's why form and mind has got no power over you. Then the phenomenal world of consciousness like collapse in front of you. You cannot grasp, you cannot go. You just accept them for what they are. We are within the existential world. There is such thing as life existence. But with wisdom, you can live life. You can develop the understanding to experience life to the fullest, to experience the pristine wonders and beauty of life. So all these are possible. That's why in the Heart Sutra is mentioned, true emptiness is wonderful existence. When you have penetrated true emptiness, the unconditioned Dhamma, then living in the conditioned world, worldly conditioned Dhamma, is no more a problem. You have the understanding. You know, form and mind, not you, but subject to karma. So you have a duty towards the form and mind. That's like the care of karma. That's like the enlightenment of the Buddha's disciple. They have four very unique qualities. One of them is of dutiful conduct. They do their duty very well. Then the other three is, of course, of wise conduct. They have wisdom. They have good conduct, upright conduct. Upright means righteous. Good conduct means incapable of negativity. So this is how you can develop the understanding. Okay, the third question is, how long will it take for the mind to settle into stillness? So that is a question. In meditation, usually how long will it take for the mind to settle down into stillness? Then I reply, it depends on the individual. If you are cultivated correctly and consistently, and your wisdom and daily mindfulness is already very established, then the stillness of mind can be realized relatively fast. It can happen within minutes. But if you have not done the training and the wisdom is not established as yet, then it may not happen. And to settle down into stillness may be quite a difficult and arduous task. What actually return to the source? So that is the question. Then I answered, there is no one to return to the source. It is just the mundane mind that realizes itself and sees. The cessation of form and mind, which is the realization of Nibbana, is without any mind and totally without any thought or even the pure awareness or consciousness. Hence, it cannot be spoken or expressed or understood via words, knowledge, or ideas or concept, which is still within the field of thought. The mind ceases, but you are not dead. And the consciousness can still come back if it's still not time for parinibbana as yet. It is just like the analogy of the candlelight that sees. Mental liberation and the non-Buddhist. Buddhist meditation talks about mental liberation and enlightenment via the Buddha's way. Can non-Buddhists also gain liberation of mind via meditation? Yes. Because like the Buddha said, the Dhamma or truth is always there before him. And he only realized it after the enlightenment. So truth is not monopolized by Buddhism or any religion for that matter. Whatever that can explain the way things are is the truth. Hence, truth is. Not your truth, not my truth. For these are the individual's opinion of truth. Okay, then next one, 3.4. When meditating, is it normal that the mind may go blank for a while? Then I answered, the mind can go blank for a while or for quite some time, depending on the type of meditation one is doing. But it is more important for us to understand what the main purpose of bhavana or meditation is. The main purpose is to realize the wisdom that can enable us to understand clearly the Four Noble Truths so that our mind can be liberated from all entanglements of life. that can condition our mental suffering. So whatever meditative experience that can bring about the wisdom or understanding is more important than just blanking our mind or developing the very special meditative experience during meditation. The very special or beautiful meditative experience that arises during meditation are only conditioned state. And if you do not bring about, if they do not bring about transformation in understanding, then they should be left as they are. They should not be clung onto or perceived as equivalent to special achievement in meditation. Certain type of one-pointedness concentration or absorption meditation energy field can also bring about the state of like no thought or blank mind for a certain period of time. The calmness can be very strong, but the mind is without any awareness within. Such meditation is mainly samatha in nature. One will have to release the absorption of concentration to normal state of awareness to cultivate the sati sampajana or daily mindfulness with clear comprehension meditation to develop the insight and wisdom needed for enlightenment. So that one I think quite easy to understand. So 18 Heart Sutta class, page 97. Daily mindfulness is very important to enable one to realize the real Dhamma as taught by the Buddha. Without this daily mindfulness, we are in awareness of all action and movement, feeling, content of consciousness and Dhamma that arise and pass away from moment to moment within the present moment. The real wisdom cannot arise. When there is no wisdom, one will be conditioned by one's delusion. Whereas wisdom leads to joy, peace, love, compassion, and harmony. How you interpret or perceive a life situation or a phenomenon at every moment of sense experience is very important. When you have wisdom, life itself is your teacher. The enlightened one will perceive all things with wholesomeness only, no negativity. Develop the wisdom to be at peace with all situations and learn to accept the reality of the moment so that one does not have to react to or worry about life, but instead always just act with wisdom following Noble Eightfold Path to resolve all of life's situations amicably. Okay, the next one is a four right effort. To abandon the unwholesome action, speech, and thought that has already arisen, the first right effort. Then the second right effort is to prevent the arising of the unwholesome thought, speech, and action that has yet to arise. Then the third right effort is to develop or cultivate the right thought, speech, and action that are still not in you. Then the fourth one is to maintain and refine upon any right thought, right speech, and right action that are already within you. Then the three types of suffering. Yeah? Okay, this one I get Manyan to read.
2.1. There are three types of suffering. Number one, suffering within suffering in its most obvious ordinary form, dukkha dukkata. Suffering within the physical form like birth, old age, sickness, and death. If the mind via delusion clings and attaches to this bodily suffering, then there is double suffering, i.e. not only the body is sick, the mind is also affected. Number two, suffering due to the unsatisfactoriness of conditioned states, shankara dukkata. Suffering due to mental attachment via attachment to the sankara aggregate of mind. Number three, suffering caused by change, viparinama dukkata. Everything is impermanent or unsatisfactory, and if one cannot accept this reality or these universal characteristics of impermanence, then suffering will arise by wanting good things your way. Note, suffering due to change as explained on page 43 of the Buddha's Ancient Path by Vyadasi Thera. Viparinama dukkha comes under the category of unsatisfactoriness due to impermanence. All the pleasant and happy feelings that man can experience fade away and disappear. As the Buddha says, even the feelings that a yogi or a meditator experiences by attaining the four meditative absorptions, jhana, come under the category of viparinama dukkha because they are transient, anicca, dukkha, and subject to change, viparinama dhamma. But the dukkha mentioned here is certainly not the pain and suffering that people in general endure. What the Buddha points out is that all things impermanent are unsatisfactory. They suffer change every moment, and this change brings about unsatisfactoriness. For whatever is impermanent is unsatisfactory. Yadanicham tam dukkham. That is, there is no lasting bliss. Part 3, Meditation. 3.1. Question 1. As always emphasized by Brother Teo, right understanding and right view are very important. If one lacks this, then how can one progress along the path of Dharma? Brother Teo replied, according to the Buddha, the first of the Noble Eightfold Path factor is Samadhi or right view. Without this right view, you can't proceed with the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Because if your views are wrong, then your thoughts will be wrong. As thoughts and mental intentions condition our speeches, actions, and the way we live our life, then all the other subsequent path factors of the Noble Eightfold Path will also be wrong. Hence, it is important to have the right view or right understanding as the first path factor within the Noble Eightfold Path. The three right views with regards to all the spiritual laws that govern all of life and existence are very important, and they are, number one, the law of karma, karma niyama. Number two, the law of mind, citta niyama, like the 12 links or paticca samuppada. Number three, the law of all nature's truth, dharma niyama, like the four noble truths. Nature's truth. Anything that can explain the way things are is the truth. The Buddha's advice via Dhammapada verse 183, to avoid all evil, do good and purify the mind, comes from the first right view, law of karma. According to the Buddha, each and every one of us is born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of our karma, which is also one of the five daily contemplations that the monks are told to reflect on daily. Hence, the importance of taking care of one's karma. How do we take care of karma? We need to train our mind to be ever mindful, heedful of our mental intentions so that our actions, speech, and thoughts are always right and appropriate to avoid all the negative or evil karma while keeping our precepts and cultivating their ennoblers. This will enable us to heed the first two advice of the Buddha, and the three advice, and the third advice is to cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness to purify one's mind. 3.2, question 2.
Wait, wait. Yours is an old book. Is yours a new book or the old book?
Old book.
Oh, no wonder. No. There is a 10 step of Abhijja Sutta missing. Huh? The third advice is cultivate the 10 steps of Abhijja Sutta, which includes the four foundations of mindfulness to purify one's mind. Yeah? Change the book. Yeah? You use English book better. Huh? Page 100. Yeah, yeah, no wonder. Page 100, yeah? The new book. Yeah.
Okay. So 3.2. How to come out of the wrong path. Question 2. When we are in the wrong path via having wrong view, how can we come out of it? Brother Teo answer. This is a very good question. Now you can understand the great wisdom of Lord Buddha in teaching us how to make sure that we won't have wrong view or follow the wrong path while following his advice to sincerely cultivate the below important cultivation and aspiration. Number one, taking the three refuges, Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha, with very strong faith and sincerity, while understanding its importance. There is no other safe refuge except in the Triple Gem, where the Four Noble Truths can be found to realize the enlightenment. Number two, To meet the aspiration by reciting Imina Punya Kamena, Mame Bala Samagamo, Satam Samagamo Hotu, Yava Nibbana Patiya. To evoke the power of merits to enable one to avoid all the foolish and meet with the wise and the enlightened ones so that Nibbana can be realized soonest possible time. 3.3. You reap what you sow. Can this karma be experienced in this very life? Question 3. You reap what you sow. So can this karma be experienced in this very life? Brother Dio answered, it depends on which cetana or determining thought moment the karma is being committed. According to the Abhidhamma, there are 7 determining thought moments or cetana or mental intention to condition karma. And if it happens during the first determining thought moment, then it is only effective this life, if there is condition for it to arise. Otherwise, it will cease to be. Similarly, for the 7th determining thought moment, it is only effective up till the next life if there is condition for it to arise. But those occurring between the 2nd to the 6th determining thought moments will be around at all times. So the answer is, it is possible to experience them even in this lifetime. Just like how you reap the result of your hard work while studying and later on working in this life. Lesson 19, Heart Sutra Class and Meditation Class. Part 1, 1.1, Wisdom and Life Situations. With wisdom, one is always at ease and with a lot of harmony in whatever one does. One will also be able to accord and flow with conditions during their waking moments, as in working career environment, as a housewife doing her daily chores, as a normal human being going through life, etc. One will have the wisdom and ability to resolve all of one's lives or situations amicably, without causing any suffering or karmic negativity to anyone, i.e. with no mental negativity to deceive, cheat, lie, or take advantage of others. In life, the way one perceives a life situation is very important. If one can perceive a life situation without any negativity, then one will always be happy and at peace with all life situations. If one does not react or stir one's mind, then one will not suffer. To have the ability to prevent the unwholesome speech, action, and thoughts from arising, one needs to develop sati, mindfulness, heedfulness, apamada, and wisdom, panya, to prevent the arising of the unwholesome mental intentions that will condition one's unwholesome speech and action. Right thoughts, speech, and action are conducive for the holy life. The 3 doors that commit karma are cetana or mental intentions committed via speech, action, and thought processes. To take care of karma, one needs to be ever mindful of one's mental intentions and apply the appropriate right effort and right understanding to avoid all evil, do good, and purify one's mind. Contemplating to develop skillful means of communication and action via arising only the right or appropriate speech and action that will not cause any suffering or misery to living beings is very important. For example, while having love and compassion, kindness, pleasantness, and gentleness of speeches, gratitude, sincerity, etc., in everything we do can go a long way. Sometimes by being sensitive to say, I'm really sorry and please do forgive me if I have unknowingly caused you any misunderstanding, can go a long way to make people feel good and happy as opposed to engaging in unfruitful argument that can lead to further misunderstanding and enmity later on. Use only pleasant, gentle, and appreciative speech, and speak tactfully with wisdom, kindness, love, and compassion to help others and to bring about more harmony and happiness. Those who are in the service industry should learn to speak well on the phone and when receiving people. Those who are attending to emergency phone calls must have the ability to use gentle, pleasant, and good speech to calm people down and assist them to handle the situation calmly and appropriately. Words like, may I help you, and how can I be of assistance are very useful and appropriate. Understanding the importance of applying the 4 right efforts To purify up our actions, speech, and thought processes is a very important aspect of the whole cultivation. There are three very important purifications needed for cultivation, and they are purification of morality, purification of mind, and purification of view. These three purifications are of the seven stages of purification as taught by the Buddha. 1.2. Seven stages of purification, Sata Visuddhi. The seven stages of purification or Sata Visuddhi as taught by the Buddha are as follows. Number one, Sila Visuddhi, purification of morality or virtue while keeping one's precepts. Number two, Citta Visuddhi, purification of mind or content of consciousness, especially the three evil roots, while an awareness of how it arises to condition one into negativity, then how to root them out via wisdom to develop the wholesome state of mind. Number three, Ditti Visuddhi, purification of view so as to arise the right view with regards to the law of karma, the four noble truths, and the law of dependent origination, and to cultivate the rest of the noble eightfold path factors. Know the difference between right and wrong views to develop the true understanding according to reality and to see things as they are. Number four, purification by overcoming doubt. Kanda Vitarana Visuddhi. No more doubt because it has overcome the 10 defilements of insight that binds the cultivators to complacency and misguided belief of realization. Number five, purification by knowledge and vision of what is path and non-path. Maga Maga Nana Dasana Visuddhi. Non-path leads to delusion and suffering, whereas path leads to clarity, non-negativity, peace, and stillness of mind born of wisdom. Number six, purification by knowledge and vision of way. Patipada Nana Dasana Visuddhi. After understanding the path, one cultivates accordingly to realize the vision of the way. Number seven, purification by knowledge and vision. Nana Dasana Visuddhi. Realization or enlightenment born of the direct seeing or direct knowledge and vision of the way things are without thought. Since meditation as taught by the Buddha is the noble eightfold path, so if one's meditation does not lead one back to the cultivation of the noble eightfold path via heedfulness and sati as taught by the Buddha, then it is not the Buddhist meditation as taught by the Buddha. If after having experienced a fantastic meditation experience, one may think that one is already enlightened. But if one's actions, speech, and thought processes are still very crude, with a lot of wrong view and delusion, then one must check what type of enlightenment that is. Part 2, Part Sutra Light, Lesson 19, The Kinds of Suffering, page 43 to 46. 2.1. The 31 planes or realms of existence. Number one, the immaterial world, Arupa Loka, consists of four realms that are accessible to those who pass away while meditating in the formless jhana. Number two, the fine material world, Rupa Loka, consists of 16 realms whose inhabitants, the devas, experience extremely refined degrees of mental pleasure. These realms are accessible to those who have attained at least some level of form jhana and who have thereby managed to temporarily suppress hatred and ill will. They are said to possess extremely refined bodies of pure light. The highest of these realms, the pure abodes, are accessible only to those who have attained to the sainthood stage of non-returner or of the third stage of anagami awakening. The fine material world and the immaterial world together constitute the higher heavenly realms. The sensual world, Kama Loka, consists of 11 realms which experience both pleasurable and non-pleasurable sensual states of mind. It is dominated by the five senses. Seven of these realms are favorable destinations, and it includes the six Deva realms and our own human realm. The lowest of the realms are the four bad destinations, which include the woeful realms of the demons
animal, betas, human ghosts, and hell realms, enlightenment, mind that has clarity and wisdom and is no longer deluded. Genuine wisdom is with complete clarity and understanding. Third noble truth, cessation of form and mind leading to Nibbana, form and mind cease to be. Part 3, meditation. 3.1, reports on meditation. Number 1, I have followed Brother Teo's class for almost 19 weeks now. By now, I can feel the calmness and peace within more often now. I can sit for 1 hour and feel lighthearted, with more clarity, joy, calmness, and peace within most of the time. My mind is a lot quieter and less heedless, i.e. with very much less wandering thoughts. When faced with problems, the mind is not so afflicted like before. Number 2, my daily mindfulness has improved. Now when I encounter problems, the mind is not so easily stirred. I am now more aware of my mental intentions, especially the negative ones, with the three evil roots. And with this clarity of awareness, I'm able to cultivate to 4 right efforts to abandon, to prevent the arising, to promote and to refine upon the various mind states with greater ease. Number 3, after cultivating the daily mindfulness, when encountering slow and topper, I can just accept the state of slow and topper without any intention to do away with it. And this acceptance allows my silent mind in sati to take over and to remain in peaceful awareness within. After a while, I can experience a shift in consciousness that makes my mind bright and clear with a lot of joy and vidya. Then the slow and topper are gone. Brother Teo answered, these are very good meditative results, born of correct meditative cultivation and right understanding. Maha Sadhu to you, sister. Always remember, whatever you do in the name of meditation, if it can bring about more clarity of mind with inner peace and awareness, to live life with a lot of happiness, joy, and understanding, then it is the right meditation. The meditation as taught by the Buddha will also enable you to develop all the wisdom and virtues, wholesomeness born of the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path, to live the noble life of a noble one. To truly live life, the mind must be in silent inner awareness to be with the moment to experience all of the beauties and wonders of life. Most living beings are heedless because they think a lot, and they are most of the time too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life, so much so that they totally miss out on life, i.e. they don't really live life. To be at peace with every moment of sense thought consciousness is genuine wisdom. To have the clarity of mind and right understanding or wisdom to know how to act and live life to the fullest meaningfully is most important.
Okay, you stop here. I have to explain a bit. Eh? Thank you, Maya. Very good. Do you know who this sister is or not? You all cannot remember. Yeah, Wu Pingjing, sir. Sister Monica. You just imagine how many weeks only she attended. That's why, Yun Chan, you must read this one. Hey, really, it's not a joke, not love. You know how he reports his meditation. I have followed Brother Teo for almost 19 weeks now, not 19 years now. Understand? 4 or 5 months only. Understand? Maybe 4 months. I can feel the calmness and peace within more often now. See, she has same problem like you. Think a lot, the thought cannot stop. But after she do the awareness day, she can now experience the calmness and peace within more often now. I can easily sit for 1 hour and feel lighthearted. With more clarity, means there is awareness within. Then sati, leading to piti, joy, calmness, and peace within most of the time. My mind is a lot quieter and less heedless. It doesn't think like before already. That is with every... That is very much less wandering thought. Like you say, cannot stop thought. But this one can. The wandering stop, the wandering thought, like very, very little really. With much less wandering thought. When faced with problem, the mind is not so afflicted like before. Because there is awareness, understand? There is the understanding. Then the second part is the best. She did daily mindfulness. My daily mindfulness has improved. Now when I encounter problem, the mind is not so easily stirred. This one I never teach her. She reported. Understand? I am now more aware of my mental intention, especially the negative ones that have the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. And with this clarity of awareness, see, the emphasis is this clarity of awareness, I'm able to cultivate the four right effort to abandon, to prevent the arising of wrong thought, to promote and refine upon the various mind state with greater ease. If she can do it within 19 weeks, you should give it a try. You have Monica, you all know her. Then the next one is even better. He said, after cultivating the daily mindfulness, again, daily mindfulness, when encountering sloth and torpor, she knows what to do. I can just accept that mind state means without labeling it as unpleasant, mental hindrance, like want to push it away, like you want to do something about it, want to go and wash your face, or force yourself to be awake. She didn't do. Means she accept at peace. Means no word, no concept, no negativity, no mental hindrance. Then what happened? You listen. I can just accept the state of sloth and torpor without any intention to do away with it. And this acceptance allow my silent mind in sati to take over and remain in a peaceful awareness within. After a while, I can experience the shift of consciousness that makes my mind bright and clear with a lot of joy and virya. Then sloth and torpor are gone. See? She can do it after 19 weeks. Then I say, yeah, these are very good meditative results born of correct meditative cultivation and right understanding. Maha sadhu to you, sister. Then I say, always remember, whatever you do in the name of meditation, if it can bring about more clarity of mind with inner peace and inner awareness to live life with a lot of happiness and joy and understanding, then it is the right meditation. And follow. The meditation as taught by the Buddha will also enable you to develop all the wisdom and virtue or wholesomeness born of the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path to live the noble life of a noble one. To truly live life, the mind must be in silent inner awareness to be with the moment, to experience all of the pristine beauties and wonders of life. Most living beings are haters because they think a lot. And they are most of the time too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life. So much so they totally miss out on life. That is, they don't really live. They are only conscious of life. To be at peace with every moment of sense or consciousness is genuine, true wisdom. To have the clarity of mind and right understanding of wisdom, to know how to act and live life to the fullest, meaningfully, is the most important. See, so beautiful. And luckily, there is a transcript there. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. You read on.
Dear, can I share something? Because when I was reading part 3, 106, he reminded what happened to me yesterday. Yeah, so I was sitting here. You know, to me, I was doing everything that Brother Dio has been teaching me. You know, I was
very good,
relaxing, silent my mind. Then I felt like sloth and torpor.
Oh, sadhu.
You know, go sadhu first. I just couldn't get out of it, you know.
Oh, okay. After reading this one, you know how to get out.
No, wait. So
Oh,
I
okay.
yeah, so I stood up and then I was thinking, because I think earlier I was talking to Alicia also, and she was saying that you must contemplate and think why, you know, if you are stuck anywhere, why you are stuck and see how.
Yeah,
like.
Yeah.
So I stood up and then I look at the board lah, because you write the false support, right?
Yeah, yeah.
False support, I know ma. But okay, never mind, just read again. So I went over and I read, and it says that relax, be aware, and
maintain awareness.
Maintain awareness, and you know, relax into any mind state
that arrives.
I didn't do that.
Oh, no wonder.
Sloth and torpor.
That's why sloth and torpor is a very down mind state that makes you sleepy. It is actually worse than fear, worry, anxiety, or anger and hatred. Because that one is very gross, you can see. But this one, it makes you doze off, very sleepy. And the natural tendency is this is not meditation. Unless you call it sleeping meditation. So definitely they want to do something. And you go to retreat and ask the meditation teacher, you know what they tell you? You don't know. Go and wash your face. Then come back and sit again. Or sit through it. No, pain, or sloth and torpor, sleepiness. You try. You verbalize worse. Because you term it as a mental hindrance through that verbalization, through that words. That's why it cannot be done. Of course, washing face is a skillful means. You get out of there, sloth and torpor no more. Then you wash, especially here, cold water. The moment you pass the cold water, you're wide awake. And your cells, your senses all become like fresh. But these are temporary solutions. They don't fix your understanding. They won't root it out. That's why I have no more problem with all those things. If I know my body is tired, I need to rest, I rest. Then with awareness down there. Then if I know I am not tired, then I will continue to be with it. Then it flashed through. I also went through that. As I relax into every mind state that arrives, then be with it. Like what I told Kogun, silent your mind. The awareness, sati, will take over. That's why she also managed to do it. It's not something that I only can do. Understand? 19 weeks can do it. That's why Man Yuan now improved already. Follow instruction. Then he checked. The missing link is what?
Relaxing.
They will relax into it. Understand? Yeah.
Continue. Roger, so I came back and I tried again.
Wow, sadhu.
So yeah, it went on.
Wow, sadhu. Now you believe or not? Man Yuan just.
Yes.
The moment she experienced it, come out of it, you cannot handle. Come and look at the whiteboard, saw the missing link. Do. Finish. This will give you faith and encouragement. It's not something esoteric, very impossible to do. It's down to earth. Everybody can do, you understand. What is relax? What is be with it? Maintain awareness. Relax into every mind state that arises. You look at Manchan. He only today realized this. Came to the class how many years? But it's very good. Because this is what through clarity of hearing, then discuss with Kayamita like Alicia, then have the faith, then look at the board. Oh, this is what I mean. Because your problem with Yun Chan, you accept the knowledge. No. Definitely, I know. I know, Yun Chan. Your problem is, which you have never sought put out or root out, is most of the time, you think you know. That is the problem. Yesterday night at the kitchen there, you remember? What did you tell me?
No, I didn't. My
no, no, you said very still. This thinking cannot stop.
Yeah.
You asked me that, you remember? Yeah? Oh, wait. Pass the mic for recording. So that people benefit. Good, thank you.
The thought comes
quite often.
Yeah, you say keep coming, you cannot stop it.
Then, okay. If when I notice it, then it will stop. The thinking, then it will stop. It does. Like that day when I heard about Karen being sick, so I thought, oh, she's sick, it's okay. Then when I heard that she's got COVID, I said, oh dear, all of us are affected. Then I noticed my mood, terrible, what are we going to do? Then after that, I thought, I can't, the others are arranging it. So I quietened the mind, and then I was calm again.
Okay. Now I quote what you say. You listen. You say you heard Karen got COVID. Okay? Then you start that habitual thinking again. Oh, what are we going to do? You're going to affect that. These are not reality. Then the thought has this habitual tendency straight away, but this is how you have been thinking. That's why you cannot stop. Then after that, you say you decide to what? How can you quieten the mind? You're using thought that I don't want to think. That's all. relax. That is the answer. You just relax. That allow the awareness to settle down. But you didn't stabilize that. Understand now? It has stabilized that when you walk different, when you bow different, when you share or ask question different. Understand now? I don't need to know. I don't need to read your mind. I cannot do it. Understand? But from the way you ask question and you describe, I know that sati not stable yet, but it's a good progress, like you say, which is correct. I rejoice too. But you are stuck in that memory thing, that thought, that cling on to knowledge, because you assume you know. So actually, just now you miss out the word relax, but luckily, after I question you, you say that. Means you have been doing without knowing that you relax. But after that, you must maintain awareness. That's why you settle down. You know why? Because here the environment is very conducive. Understand? And when we went through the morning exercise, everybody meditate, it was very conducive. Understand? That's why you can settle down. Then under here, you can do it better. Understand? But because you lack the stability or understanding and that mindfulness, stability and clarity, once you out of the retreat, I bet with you, you cannot enter. If you know how to develop it, then it's a good sign. We are based on what you describe, means you still don't have clear understanding of what you are doing, but it's a good progress already. Understand? I'm not saying you didn't progress. Understand your nature, you have that part of me, but your past is like that. That's why I realized, I even discussed my wife, you are here. I said, Yun Chang was the first to meet me, ask me to come on. And you've been listening to my Dhamma for so long. How come we cannot break through? Understand? You understand why? I'm not asking you understand why you are like that now. I'm asking you understand why I asked the question now. Why I discuss with my wife and ask a question. Then my nature tell me, you got your karmic problem from the past. That's why you are slow in receiving this. Because that is the karmic conditioning. Understand? You have been doing that type of thought-based thing for too long. Understand? To adjust is not easy. Which is very normal. A lot of people cannot adjust. Some they don't want even to believe it. But recently you have more faith. You are trying very hard, but you have not stabilized that sati. That's why a lot of things you cannot penetrate and understand. Then your understanding is when you do, there is some result. Then you understand you are more peaceful, more calm when you are doing the meditation. Means you relax. Then you try to maintain it. If you constantly do it, then this one will start to stabilize. And when it stabilized, suddenly one day, you yourself were no one.
Yes.
All these things that you listen again, it becomes so clear, full of joy. Just now, you were not reacting to it at all. The whole of Monica sharing, when I ask you to listen, read, then only you start to listen. You realize, you have stabilized your awareness. When you read this one, like Manyandeo, there's a lot of things inside there. And you will see and the joy, the happiness. Oh, okay. You have that. It's very good. I salute you. But from the way you move and react, I realize you like suddenly, because it's like just now, Pollyanna, when the chanting of Dhamma Chakkappavattana Sutta going on, the same condition, but not so bad. Understand? At least you say, you appreciate, you understand, but you didn't say it out, then it's good. But I hope that is what is happening. You have to retrospect. You have to retrospectively check with awareness, not as a knowledge. Because when you read, when all these are properly written and phrased, like you understand, very beautiful. But how it was done? So he had something.
Something to share, because this example I find is a very good example. When I was listening to it, what came across to me was I did not see the recognition of the severity of the evil root that created that first initial reaction. So initially when I started cultivating also, I realized I myself thought that reacting that way is natural. I mean, the first thing is to panic first.
Yeah.
Everybody panic first. I have that assumption in me. Everybody panic first. Nothing wrong with that. But actually, when I cultivated, I realized that is evil root there.
Yeah.
And evil roots are the three poisons, greed, hatred, and delusion. And to really recognize the severity of having that reaction, it's a potential to lead to havoc and chaos
and to make people panic.
I mean, most of us manage to push it down immediately.
Yeah.
So we thought nothing. But actually, that evil root can grow.
Correct.
That seed is there and you don't root it out.
Yeah.
It can grow. And that potential of evil is in us.
Hmm.
And every day, when all these are accumulated, without us knowing, if we don't root all these out, that is how we become more and more heedless.
Sadhu.
And the world become how it is.
Very good, very good.
That's why the severity of it, recognizing this severity is very important to push us to
cultivate. Yes.
Otherwise, like he said, we will stop there and say, it's natural.
Yeah.
And that
we justify.
We feel that we are working, but actually we are not working. We are actually in denial of how severe and how urgent it is.
Yeah. Because you all cannot see the danger. Like the second way the Buddha taught, the consequence of allowing that wrong thought, the evil root, to stay in your heart is the root of all evil, make you evil. Very good, sadhu. Sadhu. So don't worry, Yujan. You just have to check, because what you need is more understanding. Not more experience, more understanding. What you experience, if you go through without understanding, is just that moment. Understand? You experience it. Then after that, you go back to normal life, society. Most of the time, healers again. Then you need to attend retreat again. Or you need to attend classes again. So a lot of this type of thing, it depends on how you develop the understanding. Because I can see when you attend the Tuesday class, you have improved. Sometimes you like sit on the chair there or the armchair there. And when I was speaking, you like silent, meditate. That one is very good. Do you notice you do that? Tuesday class. You sit on the chair. There is this type of chair there. Then you like your head like that. Means you are listening, but not with the thought, with your heart. I hope you are doing that. I hope you are not tired and want to sleep. What was you doing? Means you were sitting on the thing like that. But quiet. Silent. Quiet. Next time I take video. Ah, Pao Lian also saw. Huh. Ah, then Alicia also saw. I didn't lie there. I didn't lie there. Yeah, you were like that. Yeah, it's very bad for her posture.
Because 他这样子,
对对对,这样哦, 对对对,
for quite some time, 我很想讲, 可是我又不敢讲,
oh, okay,
因为我以为他在 meditate, so,
yeah, I also thought
so need to check with her.
Yeah,
it's very bad for her posture.
Luckily, we asked her, now she knows. So, Alicia said, the way your posture is really, according to her, is no good. Huh? But really, because you know what you are doing or not? Your head completely like that, and your this one like that. Oh, no wonder. No wonder she didn't know she do that. Okay, so that one very good. Huh? You have gone to sleep, you didn't maintain awareness. So that is where you miss out. Huh? Never mind, it's okay, it's okay.
But the recent Tuesday class also, I saw her like that.
Yeah. Now she confirmed she gone to sleep. She is not listening with awareness there. Whereas, you're a listener, whereas those doing lying down meditation, you know, Song Day or Padma Suri, Alicia, or they are listening when they are down there. Understand? They have the awareness. That's why I say your stability or awareness, not there. You cannot stay there. Yeah, 9 something, she's very tired.
Then, and after a short while, then I'll wake up. I'll wake up.
Okay.
And actually, the mind is very bright when I wake up.
Of course, when you have another rest. Understand? But you are not listening. That's why you miss out. That's why that indicate you do not have the stability or awareness. If you have stability or awareness, even when you rest your body, no matter how tired, the awareness is there. Understand? Then you know why you have this problem. Tuesday class, so many people saw, not I see only. Means there is a coming obstruction that is actually preventing you from listening. Like Paulina and more severe. Dhamma Cakkappavattana Sutta, people rejoice with the vibration, with the way he was chanted. The energy is so strong. But she cannot listen, they're coming. So whatever that obstacle that come when you are going for the Dhamma to cultivate or what, you must recognize that this is coming obstruction. Nothing wrong, understand? A lot of people have, different people different, but they all ask for forgiveness. Alicia, you ask her. But sorry, and many Kayamita ask for forgiveness, even Indi, they ask for. Then you break the coming obstruction. Because that is your past. You have to clear all this. Then when your awareness nature stabilizes, you become different. Understand? Then you can, while want to rest your body, that time you don't sleep on. You are listening with awareness. At the heart, not at the head. When you can do that, tell me, I rejoice. Sato to you.